Hello.
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 I was on mute.
Oh.
I was wondering what was going on.
Damn.
Dang.
Hold up. Morning. Or afternoon, or it's almost afternoon for you guys. Oh, no, you're not. You're 1 hour central time. So it's still morning for you.
Right, Micah, it's lunchtime.
Or brunch?
I mean, it would be brunch time for me, actually. But
brunch time. If it was a work day, it would be almost lunchtime.
Almost. If I got lunch at the right time. Sometimes I don't get lunch at like 2 o'clock because work is dumb. But
really? You don't eat lunch until 2 o'clock?
Some days.
What time do you start?
8.
That's a long time. Hope you have a snack in between.
I eat snacks in between, even if I'm not allowed to.
They forbid you?
Yeah, they could contaminate people's teeth.
I mean, right. Not really, but
I think that's what they did to my tooth.
Some OSHA rules or something. I don't know.
You get teeth put in and they already have food on them?
Then the dentist has to clean them again.
That would be undesirable and I think mostly impossible.
It's extra charge for the dentist. They'll probably like it.
Probably.
I hadn't charged you for an extra cleaning. Instead of $200. And welcome to Geek Brunch.
Yes, where we talk about wedding cakes today.
I am Bill.
I am Mike.
I am Micah. And my girlfriend's the one making the wedding cake, in case people were wondering.
All right, so we're live. Live tweeting. Well, it's not really live.
It's not really live tweeting. By the time you hear this, most of the cake we made.
It's not live, nor is it tweeting.
You will know how that cake came out by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
That's right.
You will know if it tasted good, if it looked good.
No, probably won't know that yet, but
you make it that far in advance?
Yes.
How do you preserve it?
A freezer.
Ah.
And then you run some simple syrup over it to add some life back into it, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you add to it?
Simple syrup.
Oh.
Like whiskey?
Sugar water.
I think it's like the super soldier serum you inject into the cake.
No, it's
it's like old, and then you have to get it back alive.
Yeah, you put sugar in water, make it hot until there's less water than there was before, and it's kind of syrupy. And you brush it over something, and then it'll add some life back into a cake. It keeps in moisture.
I got some moldy cheese in the fridge. I'm going to have to try that out.
I don't believe that'll work with your moldy cheese.
Why are you keeping it in the fridge?
Moldy cheese?
Yeah. It wants the mold more. It wants a real authentic molded flavor.
I like to make my own penicillin.
Does it start to turn into meat after... That's how you get your protein.
That's right. There's lots of protein in mold.
Speaking of protein, the Chinese restaurant near where we live has like tofu versions of some dishes, and it's basically they just batter and fry the tofu just like they do the chicken stuff. So it tastes mostly the same because the important part is that it's just covered in sauce and battered and fried. So,
yeah, I've had that before. I like fried tofu. Battered and fried is good. At first, I thought you were going to say the Chinese restaurant near me is the one that got busted for serving roadkill.
No, that is not the one near me. Where was that? Wasn't that in like Texas or something?
I don't remember. Do you guys see that story?
I saw that story.
I haven't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, some Chinese restaurant got busted because they were hauling a deer. They got caught bringing a deer, or some patrons, I guess, saw them carrying a deer into the back of the restaurant that from the back of their truck or something.
Yeah, and they did the research, and they called the people. The people came in and were like, "Yep, they're serving deer."
And they claimed they didn't know they were not allowed to do that.
Hey, understandable.
It's meat. They found it on the side. They found it.
It was probably fresh, if I had to guess. Well, you know, freshly killed, most likely. Yeah. They were like, "Why let this go to waste?"
At least it was just a deer.
Yeah.
Could have been a lot worse.
Like, I saw the story and thought, oh no, not a possum. But no, it's not a possum. It's just a deer.
Where was that? Was that Texas?
I thought it was, but I would have to look it up.
Let's just say it was Colorado for fun.
Let's just say it was Colorado Springs, to be precise. Let's see. Restaurant caught for serving roadkill.
You probably get 1 million hits.
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. And then there were jokes made because it's Kentucky.
It's probably
Kentucky
good.
Fried.
Good food, man.
I mean, I like deer personally.
Meat? I don't know. It's gamey.
Yeah, but
I knew what gamey was until I tried some gamey meat.
I mean, yeah.
It's like
meat is
aftertaste, like a bitter beer.
I don't know.
Apparently, you just need to put a lot of soy sauce on it. And you're good to go.
I mean, personally, for me, I love deer jerky.
Ah, I have not tried deer jerky.
I mean, I grew up where I grew up. You got the first day of hunting season. So the deer was slung around.
I lost Micah for a second.
Did I disappear?
No, I think we lost. It's that fucking thing that I was telling you about.
Oh, the Skype thing where it just like bugger you and.
Yeah, we'll get it in another hour or so. What the hell?
So, did you guys miss the part where I used to get out of school for the first day of fucking season and the first day of bow season?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's
first
where I grew
day
up.
What? Bow season?
Yeah, bow hunting season. There's okay. Rifle hunting season and bow hunting season.
And that's where Micah gets his bow out.
Yes.
He's a longbow hunter, like Green Arrow.
Just like Green Arrow. So instead of hunting criminals, I'm hunting small forest animals.
Keeping the world Bill's safe.
Upcoming Hunger Games.
Bill's not down for that. He'll only kill fish. If you swim, you're in trouble.
You can get fish with a bow and arrow, I'm sure.
Sure can.
With spikes.
Yeah.
Spears. Spearfish.
Put a rope on your bow and arrow.
Awesome.
Like on the end of your arrow, you tie a string to it, and you shoot into the water, and then you reel it back in. This is a thing. No, that's an actual thing that some people do.
So what? You got a day off school for this?
Yes. I didn't.
For what purpose? Just because there's so many kids who are...
They like to kill things.
It's such a big deal. In, Western Pennsylvania, hunting is such a big deal that...
Even for the school kids?
Yeah, they go with their parents.
Okay.
They just hang out in trees all day.
Fascinating. What a country.
it's one of those weird things, right? Because people talk about rednecks in the South or whatever and how weird they are. But this, up north, they have just as many people who do the same kind of stuff.
Up north, the Great White North.
Yeah, there's a lot of hunting up there, too.
Mm-hmm. Bag bacon.
Dudes with guns, they just sit in a tree for hours. They get a little, put a plank of, maybe they've gotten more sophisticated now.
Harley, you want a podcast?
What?
Oh, my dog.
Oh.
It's the podcast.
Oh, sweet.
Hey, Harley.
Hello.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to Hunting Brunch. Does Harley want to be a hunting dog?
I don't know. Yeah, she likes to hunt rabbits every morning and throw my arm out of socket.
At least she isn't any bigger yet, because then leash training would be impossible. She'd just be like, F you guys, I'm going where I want to go.
That's the way I feel like I'm water skiing is what it is. I'm like, hit it!
Just got to get on your rollerblades.
Yeah. She's strong. She's only 52 pounds, but...
So that's your new... muscle. You say how long have you had her? Like a week?
Yeah, it's been a week since yesterday.
How's it going?
So far, so good. She's got some unusual behaviors that she fits right in.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And they said that think she's around 2?
Yeah. She doesn't like to go outside. She thinks that we're going to close the door on her. And
past
so,
life.
So she spends most of her time inside unless I go outside with her. So yeah, like a dummy, I go out in the middle of the night in the cold with the jacket on so we could go potty.
Well, it's better than going potty inside.
Yeah. She is trained. She won't go inside.
Yeah.
She just doesn't want to go outside without you.
The only bad behavior she has is she likes to... She's long because of her Great Dane. She's extremely long. And
she's very long. She had a long face.
Yeah, she could stand like up and be as tall as me. No, I'm just kidding. Not, I'm exaggerating. But she could get on the counters, you know? And she likes to sniff on the counters, which is a bad behavior. So we're
kind of... Put her legs up on the counter. Yeah.
Kind of crate training her, and then we're going to... I've been coming home for lunch and letting her out and all that stuff, and we'll see how that goes. And then she likes to sleep under the blankets, full body under the blankets.
I wonder where that's from.
Yeah, that's a weird behavior. And then she thinks she has to bury shit. Like, even in the house, like, you give her a Nyla bone and she'll go bury it under papers and stuff. Like, we're going to steal it from her.
Do you know anything about her past?
Just that there was a guy in, I guess, a trailer park or something, and he didn't have a good fence, and he had 2 pet bulls, and they kept getting out, and he just let Animal Humane take them until a rescue picked them up.
Oh.
And then she was with the foster family for about a week, and she was with 8 cats and 4 other dogs, so... Yeah, she's really nice. She's a good dog. She slobbers a lot. She's got like that mastiff slobber that you saw like in that Tom Hanks movie. What was it? God, I can't think of it. Turner and Hooch. Yeah, Great Dane slobber.
What's that from? Oh, it's from the Great Dane.
It's like a paste. It's like a
thick.
Yeah.
Like a almost like a simple syrup.
Yeah, it's like a syrup. It's like Aunt Jemima syrup, but it's clear.
That sounds all the way kind of gross.
Yeah, you might slip and hurt yourself if you're not careful. But she's a good girl.
Yeah, when I was a kid, one of my friends had a Newfoundland. Those things slobber all the time.
Yeah, yesterday on our walk, we were walking, and guess what we ran into? We were talking about this, I think, in the last Geek Brunch. We ran into an Irish wolfhound.
Oh, did you?
Oh. It was huge, man. Harley didn't know. Like, she was laying down. She... Like, what the hell is that? Is that a horse? Yeah. It was a big one. I've never seen an Irish wolfhound here.
You got to have a lot of room for one of those.
Yeah. It wasn't a full Irish wolfhound, but it had something else in it, but it sure looked like it. Like, you know, the mom was an Irish wolfhound or something, and it was... They said it wasn't going to get any bigger, but it was already pretty big. It was way bigger than a Great Dane.
Yeah.
How's the cake coming now? Is it a cake that you stack, or is it not that formal?
No, it is. It's going to be it's going to be a 3-tier cake. So
we need. Too bad we don't like a. We need like a button we can hit for like a music bed where it's like dun 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 dun, dun cake update.
Cake update. Well, like we've only been talking for 14 minutes, so it isn't like.
Well, you right never now. Actually told us where you were at the start of the show, so.
Oh, my apologies.
Cake update number 1.
Cake update number 1. The ingredients are out, and everything is being washed and dried to make sure that it's all optimally clean, I guess, for production. So, if you can hear in the background now, right now, running water, that's because
the prep work.
That is just some prep work being done. We have all the ingredients for the first cake. We're doing this one at a time.
So there can be different kinds of cake on each level?
Absolutely. Only lazy people make three tiers of the same kind of cake.
Is there going to be a groom and a bride at the top?
No, there's going to be a pumpkin at the top.
Oh.
So what are the levels?
The bottom one is some sort of chocolate thing that I've already forgotten. It's going to have a ganache filling as well as some kind of icing. I don't remember exactly. The second one is essentially going to end up being my birthday cake, which was a lemon cake with like lemon zest cream cheese ice frosting with vanilla bean icing. And then the top layer is a nice pumpkin cake with a sort of maple buttercream icing on top of that. So that's the basics of the three layers.
I would like to try every layer.
Well, every layer will be delicious. If you can make it here by Saturday, then you are more than welcome to have some.
Is it a big wedding or a small one?
Small wedding, like 30-some people.
Ah.
Yeah. Nothing massive. But we're going to have more than enough cake. Because it's 12-inch bottom. So it's like each cake tier is a three-layer cake. So it's three layers of the 12-inch cake, three layers of, I think, a 9-inch cake, three layers of a 6-inch cake.
Say that again.
It's three. Each tier is three layers. So, the bottom tier is 12 inches in diameter. And that's three layers of a 12-inch cake. And then the middle tier is 9 inches, and it'll be three layers of that. And the top tier is 6 inches, and it's three layers of that.
Nice. So she made one of these before.
Wedding cake? No.
How about anything this tall?
No.
Do you have to put some kind of support in there?
Yeah. And you have to run some, like, support beams in it, I guess.
2x4s. Now
she's mixing cake flour, if you guys are curious. So the cake making is now being started. So, yeah.
So, like, pillars in there? Like,
Yeah, you put like pillars, like
three of them.
Do you have a backup plan?
No backup plan.
Just in case it's the first time.
Well, she's so familiar with each of the cakes because we made test runs for each of the cakes.
Ah, but have you stacked them?
No, but
so my question: do you stack them now, or do you wait till like right before the event to stack them?
Right before the event.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Like Legos. Right before they cut into it, stack them just in case.
You stacked them in the wrong direction. The smaller piece is on the bottom. What did you do?
That seems to be almost impossible to do, but
I don't think it's impossible. I've seen Daryl play Jenga.
Oh, well, yeah. Not impossible. Impossible was the wrong choice of words. But yeah.
And there's a giant baby on the top.
Oh, no. There's no giant baby on the top. And I am taking pictures. Look, she made an appearance. What did she say? She said bark.
Oh, Harley? Yeah, she's barking at Barb's feet.
Oh.
Barb's teasing her.
Ah.
Until she gets her foot bit off, she won't.
She'll learn her lesson.
She'll learn. It's like positive and negative reinforcement there. So what all you guys been reading?
Comic books.
Have you guys read anything or no?
Yeah, I'm trying to find my stack.
Ah. Ooh, I just wanted to tell you that David Laugham's Ferals is in the new previews.
The Avatar trade?
Yeah, the Wolf Man. The Wolf.
I know. That's one of the things I sent in for the comic book page.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that one because it's selection. Awesome.
I've been waiting for that.
I read the first story arc, but the second story arc started off with a bang, man. It was awesome as shit. You'll like it. It's probably the best werewolf comic I've ever read. But I've never read a lot of Werewolf by Night, so maybe that was great. I don't know.
It's the only one I know of. Well, Werewolf by Night, and what was the one that Kirkman did that didn't last very long?
Oh, that Astonishing Werewolf. That was good. But that was more like a superhero werewolf.
Right.
Yeah, that was a superhero
book. Yeah. I had never finished reading that. I got, like, I think I read the first 10 issues, and I still have the rest in boxes.
How far did it go? Or how long did it go?
I think it went fairly far.
Wolf, we have a couple of trades.
What was it? Was it Astonishing?
Astounding, I think.
Astounding.
Yeah, it couldn't be Astonishing.
I don't know how to spell Astounding.
That's why it failed.
Yeah.
Astounding.
Spell it.
There it is. Thank you. It went
12 issues. 14.
25 issues.
Shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was rough.
Did Kirkman do it the whole time, or did he drop off at some point?
No, he did all of it. It was all Kirkman and Jason Howard.
Okay.
Nice. Wait, no, I'm thinking of somebody else. Super Dinosaur. I thought it was the same team that's doing Super Dinosaur, but I can't remember who's the artist on that. Let's see. Yeah, it is Jason Howard. It's the same guy.
That's still going?
Yeah, I do get that one. That's a good kid-friendly book.
Kirkman's still doing that?
Yeah. He's even like soliciting like lunch boxes in the image section and stuff like that. So really? If you want to buy a lunchbox 30 years from now, you'll have the toy hunter come in and say, "Oh, look what I found."
He'll dig it out of a box.
Dinosaur. Do you remember this? And then he'll stop and tell us all about Super Dinosaur. He'll say, "Walking Dead creator created this thing, Dinosaur, for kids."
And he'll even start earlier than that. He'll be like, "Image Comics was started by five Marvel creators who wanted to do a creative own stuff."
And if he's in your house, you just have to shake your head like he's teaching you something. Like, yeah.
I know, he's explaining it to you. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you.
I didn't know what the hell I bought.
Do you know what this is? Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, dumbass, I bought it.
Yeah,
here it is, lunchbox, Super Dinosaur lunchbox, $14.99.
There you go.
Spend the holidays with some dino cheer. This nylon lunchbox features Derek Dynamo jamming into action with his best friend Super Dinosaur.
Does it have a thermos?
Doesn't say.
That's what's worth money.
I know. If it's not, forget it. They're worthless without the.
Yeah, they ain't shit if you don't have a thermos.
Art by Jason Howard. Perfect for kids' school snacks or the adult on the go. There you go. It's not just for kids. But I didn't even notice that.
But I was looking through in Ferals because I'm always looking out for that other book to see if they solicit it. Dan the Unharmable. That one should be due. They got 6 issues down now, I think.
No, I'm waiting. Hey, I was going to ask you a question since we're on Avatar. Are you reading
Fashion Beast?
No, not Fashion Beast. Although I did read Fashion Beast.
Ah.
I think it was Avatar.
Caligula?
Caligula. Yeah, because they have a new Caligula series starting.
I'm getting it, but I haven't read the first one, but it's David Laugham.
Because the trade was solicited art before.
It seems like I buy everything Avatar. I don't know how dark I am. I know the guy from whoever. I follow this thing called Cross Comics on Facebook, and they like all my pictures. Like, I'll like post a picture of Harley, and they're like, Cross Comics is there, and I don't know if that's a good thing. You know, like, do they want to eat her? I don't know.
You don't get all the stuff, though, do you? Because do you get, like, Night of the Living Dead?
I get Night of the Living Dead, Caligula, Fashion Beast,
Stitched?
Feral, Stitched. The only one I'm not getting is Hero Worship.
I read the first issue of that.
Stitch is weird. I've only read the first three or four, and it's like a platoon goes out to Afghanistan, and there's these weird beasts there. That are like dead. They're like the undead, but I don't know what the heck they are. They end up fighting them.
They look like mummies.
Yeah. They got like their eyes stitched up and all their mouth, like every orifice. I don't know if their asshole's stitched up. They haven't shown that yet.
Probably.
That would be unhealthy, probably, though.
Yeah.
Well, if their mouth is stitched, they don't need to eat, so...
Oh, good point.
They really don't have a need for...
IVs and stuff, right?
How come you don't get hero worship, Mike?
I don't know. I guess it didn't seem that like an Avatar book to me.
Yeah, I read the... The first one, I didn't really care for it. I don't really think of Avatar for superhero books.
Harley.
Right, unless it's Harley.
Yeah. She's on the deck.
Let go. Harley, let go of my foot.
We actually went out there. We had the Skype problem a little earlier, but did you say you read Hero Worship 1?
Yeah. I read the first one.
Did it seem like an Avatar book?
Not really. I can't really remember it very well. Let me see if I can find it.
Because I listened to the comic book page, and I know John reads it, and he doesn't like anything that's...
He reads an Avatar book?
Yeah, he reads Hero Worship. So that kind of told me right there, that probably is not for me. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you...
John is very, 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 very mainstream. And you know, Bob is more of the independent type.
He's very averse to gore.
Yeah. They're making a Cross TV series, I think. I heard something, maybe movie or something, out of New York Comic Con.
Really?
Yeah, I hope they at least make.
I guess rated X
or something. It's got to be an HBO series if they
like Showtime or something like that. I don't know if that's like. There's no point in doing anything other than that.
Yeah,
but, I mean, even that they can't come close to what they show in the comic.
Oh hell no!
Correct.
They'd be arrested.
Someone would get locked up. That's the weird thing. I mean, it's the cool thing, too, that, you know, in comics we can get away with just stuff like that. That you couldn't get away with, I guess, unless you're doing an X-rated movie.
Yeah.
Well, see, it would be an X-rated movie.
It would have to
be. But there's something in abstraction. Like, the audience for this show would not be that big at all. Because, like, you like the comic book and whatever, but then seeing, like, real-life humans act some of that out might be...
Oh, yeah, it'd be horrible.
Yeah, so...
But with the concept, you could do it, just not be as graphic, because the concept's a cool concept, I think.
Oh, hell yeah. And the thing that makes it way better than Walking Dead, I think, is that every four issues or six issues or whatever, you're getting a new phase. In other words, they don't follow the same character. There's only one character that has had a repeat appearance in the series. Everybody else is brand spanking new, and they don't really stand a chance. The Cross are nasty. I mean, they are so nasty. Are you reading the ongoing, Bill?
The Badlands or whatever?
Yeah.
I ordered the first trade.
Oh, man, that's so good.
I wonder if I got the first one.
The latest one takes place in a circus.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh,
fantastic. This is like right up zombies in a circus?
Yeah, they're fucking clowns, motorcycle gangs. It's awesome. What a great book. I never thought I'd be like... There's like three companies I buy all this shit. DC, Valiant, and Avatar, well, for the most part. But those are the companies that I usually put on my order form. So, what else we got?
The latest cross trade I got is was that web one, the Simon Spurrier one.
That one I'm worried about. Do you want to know why?
You don't like Simon Spurrier?
Yeah. It's the only one that I'm like hesitant to pick up because I don't like that guy.
I'll have to read it and let you know. Although you may still not like it, but
well, I don't mind his stories. Like I said, it's just his writing style I don't like.
Yeah. I got some stuff I read.
What do you?
Well, I did read the Fashion Beast. Did you read that yet?
No, but let me know about it.
It's weird, and I'm not really, after reading the first issue, I'm still not clear as to where the story is going.
Well, give us the premise, if you can, if it makes any sense.
Yeah, it takes place, I'm not sure when or where.
Well, thank you, Bill. When, where, what?
It's a comic book. There are pages on it. There are pictures on those pages. There are some text over some balloons of the pictures.
I think what he's saying is he doesn't know what the hell he just read.
There's stuff happening, but I can't really explain it to you because what the fuck? You know.
There goes Micah throwing the F-bomb.
Good luck.
You just gave us the adult rating now.
Ah, poop.
Sure.
Dag nabbit.
Well, it could, yeah. I only say that because they don't give a date and time, and from what's happening in it, you can't really tell. I think it's, and I don't know if it's supposed to take place within our world or like an alternate kind of world. But anyway, it follows this. So it starts out, and this place is getting ready for, I don't know, a show they're gonna have. It's weird.
I'm gonna have to put this on Avatar's webpage, a review of Fashion Beast. It starts off, and I don't know. It's weird.
And then it goes to this. There's this coat check. So there's this guy, this transvestite. No, wait, transsexual. No, wait. I'm not sure exactly. It's a dude who dresses like a girl.
Who is a crossdresser?
Well, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his or her deal is yet. But he's the coat check person at this club or at this show, and they're letting people in and. And he's wearing like this Marilyn Monroe kind of wig and gown. And then this girl comes in. It's weird. And then she starts dancing. And then that's the end. It's weird. It was good though. I enjoyed it, but I have no idea
what you just read.
Yeah, what I read. I don't really know where they're going with the story. Obviously, we're gonna. I assume we're going to follow this.
Is it another one where Alan Moore concept, but somebody else is penning it or writing it?
Yeah. It was a screenplay, I think, that Alan Moore and Malcolm McLaren wrote back in the...
Oh, isn't that guy related to the Sex Pistols? Malcolm McLaren?
He's not related to them, but yeah, he was their producer, I think.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Sure. And this was done back then. Like, it doesn't say the date, but I think it was done in the 60s or 70s when it was when they wrote the screenplay. And then Anthony Johnson did the adaptation. Anthony Johnson did
Neonomicon?
Yeah, he's done a couple things with Alan Moore. And then what's the series he does? Wasteland? Something like that. Shit, what's
for it called? Omni?
Yeah.
I haven't read it. Neonomicon was awesome.
Did he do that?
I don't know. I thought it was an Alan Moore thing, but I don't know if he... I don't know if someone penned it for him.
Yeah.
But Neonomicon, man, blew my mind. I want to read the Courtyard one, which is supposed to be a prequel to that one. But I'll look up Wasteland real quick on the big database. It's a lot faster now with the new upgrade.
It's a lot faster than me trying to scan.
Yeah, it is Anthony Johnson. Artist is Christopher Mitten.
Yeah, Christopher Mitten.
That's another book that I have about the first 12 issues and haven't read. That's a damn shame.
I like that one. I've read the first couple of trades.
That's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
They have another one coming out that was solicited an image that was post-apocalyptic where all the like famous people in comics are saying, this is a new revolutionary comic. I can't remember the title of it, but it stood out and I ordered it because I've been really reluctant to order new number ones, and that was one I put on my list.
Because you're afraid you'll like them?
It got so much rave reviews from people that write comics. So I was like, I got to add that to my list.
Is that Black Acre?
Yeah, yeah. I added that one. I didn't add too many new number ones, but that was one I did add. Looks interesting.
Like some bizarre cross between Mad Max and Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
Says Ed Brubaker.
Black Acre is a brewing company in Indianapolis, stuff. Indiana.
Don't tell Keith. There she goes to bury one of her treats again. This treat she never eats. She just buries it. And it's filthy. It's got like tons of dirt. And she just migrates it like throughout the yard. And when she buries something, you can't tell. Like, you can't tell that there's a whole... She plants the grass back in. She makes it pretty stealthy.
So does that come from when she was out in the yard with another dog or something?
I don't know.
Should it protect your stuff?
Maybe that one week with eight cats and four dogs taught her how to like take care of herself.
It says like if you Google why dogs will do that, it says it's because they keep like shit around in case, you know, there's no food. They'll go dig it up and eat it. But she's got plenty of food. I don't know what she's doing.
She doesn't know that yet. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. In her old owner, she didn't know when she was going to get her next meal necessarily. Maybe he went could have gone days without food or something.
Yeah.
So she's cautious now. She's going to make sure she is taken care of.
Now she's rolling around in the grass. She buried and now she's rolling like... And now she's running around, chasing her tail. I don't know. So Fashion Beast, you're going to continue with, but probably not in singles.
Not in singles. I don't know. I'll probably see where the story goes and then decide from there. And I did read something that I'm going to pick up in trade. Happy, number one, from Image Comics. This is the new Grant Morrison, Derek Robertson book. Did you get this, Mike?
No, I didn't, because I didn't know if it was going to be crazy-ass Grant Morrison or not. And I rolled the dice and said it'd probably be crazy ass Grant Morrison, so I don't know if I'll pick it up.
It was more normal Grant Morrison.
Ah.
Or at least it was a, what's it called?
An understandable comic.
It was a linear story, so it took place in the real world, sort of. So this one's about, it starts out as kind of like a crime kind of action type movie opening where these guys are walking down the street and then, oh, these guys are walking down the street because they're hitmen they're like in a gang or something, the mafia or something. Anyway, so they're going to, for this hit where, and their brothers and these other two brothers are already there, and they've been hired to kill this guy. And then they get there and weird stuff goes down. And then we follow this one guy who's I can't remember if he's a cop or an ex-cop. But he gets injured, and then when he wakes up, he starts. I don't know if it's a spoiler. What's the solicit for this thing?
I don't know.
Okay, should I spoil it?
Yeah.
So he starts hallucinating this kind of this blue horse-like creature with wings and a tail and. Like a unicorn. He's like a unicorn with long ears and buck teeth.
I thought you told me this story made sense. Okay, he lied to me. He lied.
It does. So it starts talking to him and it's telling him what to do, and it tells him he's in danger and he needs to run. So he doesn't know if he's hallucinating this thing or if it's real because he's all on drugs and stuff because his injury. I think he got shot. It was good though. It was enjoyable. I liked it. I'm gonna continue with this one. Issue 1 of 4. So I'll get the trade when it comes out. And it wasn't some Grant Morrison you read and you're just like, I don't know what had just happened. But this was a linear story that you could follow, and it was very well written.
Yeah,
and
the art
is awesome.
There's very few stories that I could read and not understand it and still want to pick up the next issue. There are exceptions, but I don't know.
Yeah, this is not one of those type of stories. This is definitely an understandable story.
You do have my curiosity on Fashion Beast, though, because he didn't give me nothing, so I want to go read it. Compare notes.
I don't know. I have no idea where they're going with the story. I don't know. Go follow this. This dude, he was Dan. So there's one part in the story where in Fashion Beast where so they're coming to this place to, I think they watched like a fashion show or something maybe, and there's like 100 people there, and then at the back of the room this dude dressed up like Marilyn Monroe starts dancing, and then everyone in the crowd like starts watching him dance. So I think that's where the story is going.
Wow. I don't know if I want to read it now. Definitely not a before bedtime read, that's for sure. Like if you're half sleepy, you want to absorb whatever he's trying to do.
But it's not that the story didn't make sense, it's just that you can't really tell what the story's about, you know, like where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you met these characters and you see what they're doing. There was this show that went on and they live in this weird world. But I don't know where it's going to go from there. Usually by the end of the first story, you get an idea of like, oh, okay, I see where it's going now. Or you get a sense of the bigger story, you know, or the bigger arc. But in this one, I did not get that. Or I did not catch it. Maybe it was there and I just missed it.
I read Alan's book, Power Principle.
Power Principle #1. I read that.
I'm going to talk about that. Like,
last time, but then I totally forgot.
I know, so did I. Because we're horrible, horrible friends.
Terrible friends.
I thought it was great. And the reason I loved it so much is because I could hear Alan. Do you know what I mean? This is Alan speak. Totally. Alan tweet speaks a certain way. This is Alan speak. So it's like I felt at home, like Alan was talking to me.
Yeah, there's no way you could read it without hearing him speaking the voice.
Yeah. And it had one of the Geek Brunch guests in it, Adam P. Knave. It had him in the front part of the comic. And Alan is in the comic under a different name, Terry. But I think he's telling a lot of his personal stuff in here. At least of what he does and stuff, so.
Yeah, he's definitely paralleling his life with this character, Terrence.
Yeah.
How he's a therapist and wanted to be an artist at one point and then went off on this other tangent, which is exactly that parallels Alan's life to a T.
It involves superheroes, so Alan is a superhero.
I'm going to read this one part. I have one more client before I'm free for the weekend, and then, dude, you do not even know. Like, who does that sound like? I wonder.
Yeah, it's so much Alan, that's why I love it. It was great. And he drew it and wrote it, so it was even cool, you know. He did everything. I think his friend Adam Bessignotti did the editing on it, but other than that, it was all Alan. A Jamal Igel cover.
It's a good cover.
Yeah, he's got some awesome covers coming up.
Have you been seeing the other covers that have been that he's been doing on this page?
Yeah, they're awesome covers. I'd love to see this book in color. I really would.
I'd like to see it in print.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there was my only complaint, like near the end, some of the stuff that was happening was kind of hard on the screen to tell what was going on. I think it'll read better in the printed page.
Only because your old man eyes.
This digital stuff, it's confusing.
Well, it's PDF too. And PDF,
I'm sorry.
It's the spawn of Satan.
If it had the panel by panel, it'd probably be easier to.
Yeah, we need to get it on Comixology so we could watch it panel by panel.
But I enjoyed it. I liked the story. So it's the story of, I guess probably most people listening to this know what it is, but the story of these five or six, I don't know how many there are, people with superpowers or super abilities who have gone off. They used to be a team, and they've gone off in different directions, and now they're kind of reuniting.
But it seems like they're real reluctant to use their powers and stuff. They use them in certain circumstances.
Yeah, they seem content with their regular lives and don't want to be super powered anymore.
And there's somebody that's trying to bring them out into the limelight, let's just say. Somebody pulling some strings and shit and taking out people.
Yeah, someone's coming after them.
Yeah. And some of it takes place at New York Comic Con, which is happening right now. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. The other part that I really enjoyed, because I know Alan in it. I know Alan and it reminded me of Daryl. Is when he's got the crying kid and he's holding the baby up. And he's trying to pass off the baby. I thought that was hilarious.
That was funny.
And then there's the DCBS makes an appearance in here too. That's interesting.
Well, I think a lot of the people appearances were part of the Kickstarter. Like, you know, you could appear in the first issue. Because you can tell, like, people in the backgrounds.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are, but I'm like, I know that they paid for an appearance.
Yeah, because of Alan's, like, because of Alan's art style. That looks like people. It's very obvious. I liked it, though.
And you can order a paper copy, I think. I tried, but it didn't work. There was that, you know, that print-on-demand service? I forget what it's called. Indiegogo or one of those things. I can't remember. I think you could try to get a paper copy if you want a paper copy. Speaking of digital, I was going off on DC's, you know, first wave. I was trying to get caught up. I've been feeling like I don't want to read the New 52, and I've been in a mode where I'm struggling with it, and I just need to get away for a while. So I started reading.
What's wrong with it?
It's nothing wrong with it. I just needed to re-energize my engines.
Have you tried Young Justice?
That means there's something wrong with it.
No, I just want something old. I don't want something new. Yeah. So I read The Spirit, which was freaking amazing. I can't believe nobody else really gave that props, but...
Wait, is this the Darwin Cook one. This is the one they did with...
Maura Tatt and David Hine and a couple other people. It was amazing.
That's the one where Ebony's a girl, right?
Yeah. It's like a teenage girl. She seems to know a lot about, like, the city and stuff. So, like, whenever the spirit needs to know stuff. It's weird because it's like the spirit is just... Even though he's the main character of the book, the awesome part of the book is not the spirit. The awesome part of the book is the octopus. how he's got like 8 different mobster leads in the city, and they're just the villains are awesome, and the city is awesome. That's what makes it, and all the supporting characters are awesome, and it's like the spirit just goes and kicks ass. I mean that, but I love it. I really do love it. And like the final issue was all black and white because early on. They solicited the book at $3.99, and you'd get a spirit story in the front in color and a black and white in the back by, you know, some famous people. Well, the last issue was all kinds of black and white issues that they wrapped up, and it was amazing. It had Garcia Lopez art, all kinds of stuff. The stories were just cool. I needed it. It was a good break from typical superhero stuff.
Did you finish that one book you were... was it Doc Samson?
Oh, Doc Samson. That was another interesting one. So that I got on the first wave kick because I was like feeling kind of pulpish and I wanted to read some pulp stuff. What is his name? It is Doc Savage. I got it confused with Dad Savage, that damn movie that we...
I thought you had to get it confused with Doc Samson.
When you said Doc Savage, I was like, is it Dad Savage?
No, it'd be an Italian.
I'm like, that fucking movie has disturbed me for life. I hate that movie. But Doc Savage, I didn't know a lot about. I know he's a pulp character, and I know he was really popular in the novels. Like, people like to read him, just like Conan, and he's got like an array of sidekicks that are very unusual. They kind of remind me of Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos. You know, they have like personalities like Frenchie and all, you know, the Howling Commandos do. There's one tough guy, New Yorker guy, and then there's a scientist and smart guy, and they all hang out with Doc Savage. And what he is kind of like Tom Strong, which is like the Alan Moore creation, where he was raised to be like a perfect individual, mentally, physically, everything. He's got this weird gold skin, which I can't figure out.
I was going to say, isn't he like the Man of Gold or something like that?
The Man of Bronze.
Oh, yeah, bronze. That's it.
And I know the Chuck, the guy that listens to our podcast, he loves like pulp stuff, like, and he was really discouraged with this. So I don't know if it's... I don't know if this will appeal to like diehard, you know, Doc Savage fans, but this last story was very cool. It was J.G. Jones, who we usually know for art. I've never knew he could write, but he wrote the best story in the whole arc, and it was a very unique situation because I read issue 17 and I was like, "Oh, to be continued." And I was looking through my stack and I'm like, "How did I fucking miss an issue of this?" Because I'm really pretty anal about finishing series and getting a complete series of if I like the story. And in this case,
or if you haven't even read them at all,
I didn't even know, or I'll finish it off even if it's 100 issues and I haven't read them at all. But I was like, how did I miss this? So I went through my DCBS orders. I started doing research, you know, like I wanted to finish this story and there was nowhere. It was like it never came out and it said to be continued. It like ended on a cliffhanger. I'm like, fuck this. And I'm like, I just go on Twitter. I was like, anybody know where I could get the conclusion to this story? And somebody tweeted and said, hey, they only put it out digitally. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. So I have the whole thing in print and the last issue digital, but I was able to find the conclusion to the story.
Okay, so you got to read the ending.
Yeah, and it was a pretty cool plot. It was like, it kind of reminds me, I mean, not being a Doc Savage guru, I mean, people will laugh at my review, but I don't know the character very much, but it kind of reminded me of something like out of like Johnny Quest, you know, the Saturday morning cartoon. It just felt like that. At least this last story arc did. And it was really cool because this Russian scientist found an asteroid that hit Earth. You know how there's that thing, that theory that says something hit Earth, had something on it, and life started, you know? Started life. Well, he found that asteroid somewhere in Russia and was bringing back dead people, and he was trying to bring back Genghis Khan. And that's what Doc Savage was supposed to, you know, trying to stop. And it got real convoluted. There were like dinosaurs in it that he brought back and cavemen that he brought back. And there was a sexy woman that he was chasing because she had part of the asteroid she was wearing as an emblem around her neck. And she was manipulating Doc Savage. And it just was a convoluted plot. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was fun. It was the best part of the book. And Winslay drew the last three issues or so. The artists were jumping all over the place, man. That was the only bad thing is it seems like they couldn't get an artist for more than two issues or three issues, and then it would change. And the art style, sometimes DC is really good. At least in the New 52, they're really good about getting artists with similar style to draw the book. So you don't so much – it doesn't seem – dramatic when you get an art style change, but this time it was really dramatic. There was some strange and unusual art styles on this particular book.
Those are, I'm guessing, they weren't well-known artists, right?
Some of them were and some of them weren't. It was weird. There was one guy that had a weird style, like nothing I've ever seen. Mike, what was that?
Hey, Mike, is Mike breaking up for you?
Yes, he's turning a little bit.
Do you want me to recall you guys back? Seems like this connection is kind of bad.
Yeah.
All right. Let me call you right back.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, is that better?
So far.
Yeah, we've had a bad connection the whole time because even when you were talking, Bill, I was sometimes getting...
breaking up.
Yeah. Okay, I would get the
we'll
gist
start
of...
over.
Yeah, this Welcome is Geek Brunch. Geek Brunch.
Welcome to Geek Brunch, episode 169.
Wedding cake.
Cake update.
Yeah.
Cake update. So far, we have the first cake mixed to be poured into the cake pan. So,
is don't it just, eat the raw cake batter, you'll die.
Is it true?
Because
if the eggs have salmonella.
Well, like, essentially, yes. But, I mean, like, yes. But
technically, yes. Yeah.
Technically, yes. Essentially, no, though. Like, you have to really go for it. If you, like, you might get a little sick at the most, unless you just went for broke and just, like, crushed the cake batter hard. But, like, if you put your finger in it and, like, have a taste of it to see if the consistency is right and so forth, you'll be fine.
You're not going to die?
No. Right now, if you can hear, that is the sound of the cake pan being buttered. Not buttered. Fuck. Cooking sprayed up.
That's the modern butter, isn't it? I just spray that on my toast.
You have butter spray?
No, just a pan spray.
You spray that on your toast.
Butter flavor, though. Butter flavor.
So you don't have to get a knife out and spread it. You just spray it on.
I can do like four slices at once that way.
Before or after you toast it? You like put it in the oven and then just kind of go for broke?
I toast my bread and then I spray it down.
That's how you make garlic bread, huh?
Do they have specific garlic butter spray? I'm sure they do, actually.
Dude, probably. I'm trying to think of a good garlic flavored thing, but
you have no garlic.
Triscuits? I make garlic flavored Triscuits that are pretty good.
I guess I could crush those up and put them on toast.
You can put it into like a salt grinder.
We always put garlic salt on them.
Ooh, yeah, garlic salt. That's because, you know, like garlic and salt.
So did you taste the cake batter?
I did not.
What kind of a half-ass update is this?
Well, I'm far away, and I'm tethered. I don't have a wireless headset. And so I am tethered to...
Snap your fingers.
...the computer. That would probably get me killed. Not probably. I am relatively assured that snapping my fingers is the best way to die.
Give me some cake, woman. Bring me some cake.
Yeah.
I need to spot check this.
Quality check.
Yeah, let me lick the spray off the pan.
No, it's already been poured in. I'm surprised you can't hear my camera like over here freaking all the way out. So,
your camera?
Yeah, I'm sort of documenting the process. That's why they made zoom lenses.
Oh.
God made telephoto zoom lenses so that I could sit over here doing the podcast and take pictures from far away.
And then you give it to the groom and bride. You got a geek brunch over here, but you got some video of the cake being going on.
Well, this is just kind of like...
Here's the cake being made, and there's a review of Doc Savage. You get the best of both worlds.
That's right. I guess that could be like a gift to them. You could just burn them a copy of this episode and say, here's what was going on while the cake was getting made. Documentary of the cake being made.
I'm sure both the bride and groom would find that extraordinarily valuable and fascinating.
Could play it during the reception.
Well, they're going to have, I don't know, I can't say this, but they're probably going to have shit music at the reception anyway, and so Geek Brunch might be more enjoyable.
What is shit music just for?
I have no idea what they're going to put. Probably like angst rock or something, you know, like.
Oh, I like that stuff.
Something like staring down the barrel of a .45 during the wedding. Actually, it's probably a bad song to play during a wedding, but like.
That's why they say, hey man, nice shot. Good shot, man.
Maybe a little bit, Can You Take Me Higher? Was that Creed, I think?
Yeah.
There's not going to be Creed at the reception? Oh, okay.
It's a step to the ledge and see the world.
Not that song either. I'm trying to think of other like terrible rock songs that might get played at the reception.
Pour Some Sugar on Me, Def Leppard.
That's not a terrible rock song. And if they played that, I'd be excited because then...
That's a stripper song. That's awesome.
Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Stuff. I'm hot, sticky, sweet. From head to my feet. Yeah. And then you have a girl dancing on a car.
Hopefully, like, someone's daughter, though. That'd be the best. Like, was that Arrow?
Well, it would be hard if she wasn't someone's daughter.
Well, that'd be interesting. No, would it be like Arrow? Like, was it Aerosmith who had, like, was it Steven Tyler's daughter?
Oh, his daughter?
Yeah.
She was in a video, yeah.
Those, like, big groups had, like, someone's daughter. like flying around in a car.
She's a movie star now.
Well, she's a movie star who can't act to save her life. She's atrocious.
She's attractive.
Not really. I guess in that like pasty white way that people find things attractive, but like she's like a waif and she can't, she has one face and one face.
Yeah, but her, that one face is attractive and pouty.
Like in every movie she's in, she's only, I think the most acting she did was when she played an elf. Like that's the most acting she's done in her entire career. Because like her as,
was she in, wasn't she in Say Anything? Was that her? I don't know.
I know that she was in the Hulk, the second Hulk movie, right? Where she, her entire line, her entire like script consisted of her saying the word Bruce over and over again. Like she didn't do anything else. Bruce. That's it. Like that's it. Over and over. Like really, kid? You couldn't figure out anything else to do? Like I wonder if she had more lines, and then the director was like, "Shit, she can't act. Just say Bruce over and over again. We'll figure it out."
She was good in Armageddon.
Not really.
I think she's good looking.
She had the same motivation in that movie too. She just kind of stood around looking forlorn.
She's got Steve Tyler lips.
Oh no! Say Anything was Ione Skye.
Okay.
I thought that movie was before her time anyway.
What are you thinking of?
Liv
Jennifer
Tyler.
Connelly, The Racketeer. She was in the first Hulk movie.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly was the first Betty.
Good Lord, she was hot in The Racketeer. Good, I mean, she was at her peak there.
Yep, that was...
Oh my God, she looked like Betty Page. She fit that damn... It was like Dave Stevens drew her on the damn screen.
See, she was in The Incredible Hulk. The Strangers. She was in The Strangers, really? Weird.
That was the weird movie where they knocked on the door and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw that. Is it any good?
It's based on a true story. A pizza guy delivered something.
It's creepy as shit.
I think you like it,
Bill. Oh, that's loosely based on a true story.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, it's not...
Based on a rumor of a story.
Yeah. Like, some kid... It's like a... It's based on an urban legend, essentially. Yeah.
Everything is a true story these days.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in the Lord of the Rings movies. She was in... I'm trying to see if I've seen it. Jersey Girl. She was in
Jersey
Girl.
Oh, yeah, she was good in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's her best acting role. She played an elf who didn't have to actually act. It was awesome. That movie was full of, like, people who can't act not being told, don't worry, you're playing an elf, so you're fine. Like, Orlando Bloom, who also cannot act to save his life.
Man, you're full of hate today.
I'm not full of hate. I'm just saying that, like, Liv Tyler can't act,
machine.
And Orlando Bloom cannot act.
So who could act in that movie?
Viggo.
Oh yeah, he was good.
He's a good actor. Who's the other dude?
Ian McClellan or Magneto.
Magneto's a good actor. Count Dooku was a good actor, even though he didn't do much in Lord of the Rings. But
The Hobbits.
Yeah.
Daryl hates the Hobbits.
Merry and Pippin are definitely good. Sam is probably all right. I don't know if Elijah... I think he just quit acting after a while.
Yeah, I don't know about that
guy. He did that. He's on the FX show right now, I think, which I never saw.
Oh, yeah, with that imaginary bunny guy.
I saw it personal, and it looked terrible. And so
I watched an episode of that, the first one.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
I only watched one episode of it.
That's enough. I'm trying to think of who else was in Lord of the Rings, like all those Lord of the Rings movies. That's Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's good. Well, you can't bring out these. Yeah, those are like older good actors. So.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to think who else was.
So you like the old actors, and you still like the young actors. What about
young actors? All the young actors were terrible. I mean, Sean Bean's a good actor. He's great at dying. Sean Bean's an excellent dyer. You know what? No, there's one old actor I don't like. Whoever played Sean Bean's dad.
I don't know. Belshamar.
What?
I'm making stuff up.
He's writing his new book right now.
Kevorgian. Okay, Borgian. Celebar.
Tyler, not any good. Orlando Bloom is Billy Boyd. He's all right. Donna, you're good. Vigo. Andy Checkers was good.
Yes, he was good.
I like the Lord of the Rings movies, but I have not watched them a second time.
You're good on that.
Except for the second movie, I think. The one where the trees were walking. Was that the second one?
Yeah.
I've seen that one twice.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That might be my favorite of the three.
Well, that one is good because they have, like, the climax, and then the movie keeps going, and then they have another climax.
Yeah, because it's 18 hours long, so you can have climaxes in the movie.
It's basically awesome. Two movies, yeah. They've doubled down on a couple acts there. They're two third acts.
The first movie was, like, super boring, and nothing happened. And until, like...
Final...
It's the troll, and then Gandalf, like, fake dies, and it was like, oh, shit happened! But...
Beginning was good too because of the, like, setting up the.
Well, they're setting it up. I'm saying, like, it's a 3.5 hour long movie.
Yeah, long setup.
They're just a lot of walking around, a lot of hanging out, having good times, a lot of meetings with elf people for a while. Lots of Orlando Bloom being weird, just kind of standing around doing
Legolas.
Stuff. All Legolas does in these movies is kind of just stand around and state the obvious. Like,
he looks the coolest, though.
Well, yes. He's like, Legolas, what do your elf eyes see? My elf eyes see the sun is rising in the east. Oh, thank you, Legolas. I wasn't aware of what was going on. They're taking the hobbits to Isengard. Where else would they go, Legolas? That's where the bad guys are. That makes sense. Let's go. A storm approaches. Thank you, Legolas. I wasn't aware. Like, every line he has in the movie is him stating out what is definitely happening. He's like the king of exposition. But he's an elf, so it's cool. He gets to shoot things with bows. And John Rhys Davies makes jokes the entire time.
I always think of Indiana Jones when I hear that name.
John Rhys Davies?
Yeah. He was the partner. He was the Arab guy that helped him dig.
I just know John Rhys Davies does a lot of, he does a lot of stuff. Like, he stays acting all the time. Just in nothing I ever watch. Except for apparently The Living Daylights, which I've seen. I had no idea he was in. Sweet. Anyway, so I read comic books.
All right.
Let's see, where do we start? I read nothing but... Wow, you know what? I must have hit the stack that's Marvel books, because apparently for the past few weeks I've been reading nothing but Marvel. We'll start with the Silver Surfer, because those two made the least amount of sense. So I read the Silver Surfer number 42, which is called... that's not a title, but it's on the cover. It says, Tonight, One Show Only, The Cosmic Extravaganza, and it has the Silver Surfer tied up to... some, like, cosmic chains, and he's putting on, like, a Raver light show. This is, like, a 1990s book. And so I don't know what happened before or after, but he's, like, living in some sort of, like, tent ghetto outside of a big future tech city. And in the beginning of the book, the Destroyer shows up, and he's all like, hey, buddy, Thanos is alive. We gotta go capture him. And then Silver Surfer is like, cool. Let's go find and kill Thanos. And then the Destroyer leaves, but Silver Surfer doesn't leave because apparently he can't leave. It doesn't make any sense. I have no idea what's going on. Like, you have flying powers. Why can't you just fly away? But apparently he doesn't have flying powers right now, or he lost a surfboard or something. I'm not sure what's going on. And so he's hanging out in, like, this tenement slum thing with all these weird people. There's a dude who looks like Ambush Bug here. And... I'll just take a picture of it and show you guys. Because he looks like Ambush Bug, and I don't know what the hell is going on. Well, not really Ambush Bug, because I don't have an antenna, but he has a green face and a mouth that's really, really big. And so Silver Surfer spends the first 10 pages, hanging out in the slums, doing absolutely nothing. And then he gets hooked up to, like, this light show rig, and it uses his powers to make sparklers in the air. But then... he escapes by using his powers that he didn't have before, apparently, and finds the leader of the city, which is just apparently a giant eyeball. And it's hooked up into, like, computer machines. But apparently the giant eyeball isn't actually the leader, because there's actually some criminals who are in charge, and the eyeball just kind of hangs out there being a giant eyeball. And then he gets carted off and taken to jail. And that's the end of the issue. I have no idea, like, there's no way of telling what's happening next. Like, I don't know if this is, like, some weird out-of-continuity thing, what planet he's on. Because the guy who the bad guy who captures him is just, like, a giant smiley face.
Is it continued in the next issue, or does it just end?
Yeah, it's in the next issue. I just don't have the next issue. So I never know what happens unless I somehow run across issue 43 of the Silver Surfer.
You should be able to find that in a dollar bin.
I should be able to. It's a matter of if I remember to ever look for it.
Not that you'd want to after your...
No, it's not really that good. Like, it's not really that great.
But is the art good?
Yeah. Let me see. Who did the art?
Ron Lim.
Yeah, Ron Lim.
Looks like they're probably just trying to get rid of some stories because the Infinity Gauntlet was right after that.
Okay. So they were just pumping through some issues until the Infinity Gauntlet thing starts. So that makes sense. That was 1990. Then I read issue number 65 of Silver Surfer, where he fights Reptil, which is like a giant dragon.
And I remember that one. Did you guys ever play the Nintendo Silver Surfer game?
Yes, I did.
I think it had Reptil.
It did.
Yeah, I remember that. I was actually fond of the game. I don't know why. Today it would probably suck, but I liked it at the time. I think if
you played it now, you would hate yourself. All those Nintendo games, except for like very few, like nowadays are just practices and frustration. Like, you would play them and then become immediately angry because they're so hard for no reason.
Yeah, it was kind of like Defender, except it had more to do.
Yeah. And you were a Silver Surfer, which was more fun.
Yeah, which was more fun. That's why I think I liked it.
That's what a lot of games were. They're just more fun versions of...
older games.
Yeah. Like, you would play Captain America game, which was just like every other arcade game at the time, but it had Captain America in it. Like Captain America, and I think the Falcon, and possibly Silver Surfer. I can't remember who was all it. Who the Avengers were at that time. But you got to play as those characters, so it was more fun to you, even though the game was still miserable.
Sports games were always good, though.
I love the sports games. That's why I bought video games.
Like, Blades of Steel.
That was way too clear. It's like it has to sound super jarbled. Oh. It's really hard to do. Make that like 8-bit
digitized voice.
Yeah, it's like not really voices, but it sounds like voices. It gets close enough that your brain fills in the rest of the details yourself. It's like, oh yeah, clearly he said Blades of Steel. I like Blades of Steel. I liked. I forget. I think there's another ice hockey game on there made by the people who made Super Dodgeball. That's really awesome. But I can't think of what it is now. So.
Oh, Super Dodgeball was awesome.
The people who made that have a whole series of awesome games that
got. Mike probably didn't like those games because they're too manga.
The guys have giant eyes. When you hit them in the stomach, they would like puke and their eyes would get big. It was awesome. I love Super Dodgeball. I still like Super Dodgeball, actually. There's like a weird Xbox version of it now that's all like they just got a, like it was entirely in Japanese when I bought it, and it's been in Japanese for a good year or two, and then they just made an update that put it in like really bad English. You're like, oh. But it's still Super Dodgeball. Like, it works and it's full of weird glitches.
I must like it, manga, though, because I like Becky Cloonan.
Don't listen to Keith.
She's the premier manga artist now.
Yeah. She's doing Conan now.
for like 2 issues, but then somebody else was on the most recent issue, I think.
I don't think she can keep a monthly schedule, because she seems to be the prime Conan artist, but then you get like two issues of somebody else.
No. And they're getting someone who's close to her style, so it's not totally jarring. It's just, you know, slightly not as good. Anyway, so the Silver Surfer is just fighting Reptil, I think. And they're fighting, and let's see, page 3, they fight. Page 4, they fight. There's a comic book ad for Wolverine candy bar. No, those are trading cards, sorry. And then page 6, they fight. Then there's an ad for the WrestleMania game for Super Nintendo. Then page 8, they fight. Page 9, they fight. Then there's an ad for the ugliest t-shirts of all time. Classic Marvel tees. These things look hideous. No one should ever buy them. On page 11, they fight. And then there's another ad for role-playing games. And then you meet this random character. I don't know who she is. Maybe I should. But her name is Princess Alasia. And it's her and her robot, like, nanny, and these two, like, super buff 90s dudes as her bodyguards. And she sees the fight between Silver Surfer and Reptil and wants to go look at it closer. And for the next 4 pages, her robot nanny is like, "You can't do that." And she's like, "Yeah, I can." And then there's an ad for Bucky O'Hare. And then an ad for the Turtles, which is a mini ad that's like, it's for the Manhattan Project, which is an awful game, by the way. Don't play that one. Play the first game and play the third game. No, scratch that. Play the second game and the first game. Don't play Manhattan Project. It's not any good. And then, I know this is news from like, shit. What year is this? 94? 92. Good God.
20 years ago.
Yeah, it's only 20 years ago. So, information for life. Don't play Manhattan Project. And then you go back to page 17, where there's Surfer fighting, and they fight on the next page, and then Reptil takes the princess girl hostage. And then I believe he kills the 2 bodyguards. Not before this. The whole reason I'm even bringing this issue up is because on the next page is a 2-page ad, and it's called Marvel Master Vision. And if you call 1-900-420-6622, you can play the Ultimate Marvel Trivia game.
All right.
Did you call it?
No. But if you live in Maryland, Minnesota, Virginia, Arizona, and Georgia, you can't do this because they don't allow it in that state.
They don't allow you to pay for phone calls?
It's not. The game begins March 1st, 1992. And continues through May 29th of 92. Callers with touchtone telephones, which must have been a big deal back then. Goodness gracious. They call the name, and then they had to... What do you even have to do?
You're like, study. Fuck, I only have a rotary phone. Fuck.
Yep. Study the miracle. You have a minute and 40 to answer all questions related to the mural. You'll answer questions by either entering numbers, initials, words, or coordinates on your touchtone phone. When the answer is a word, enter only the first letter of that word. Oh, wow. Coordinates are entered number first, letter second, i.e. 2P.
I hate spelling on a goddamn phone.
Locating a single item or character, enter the coordinates of the box, which is predominantly found. So let's say Storm is in 4 different panels. You would pick 1P because that's where most of Storm is. Answer 10 or more questions to win. Have pen ready to write down prize claim number. That's
it. Look at all the hoops we had to jump through before the internet.
Yeah. Now go to Facebook, click like.
You deserved a prize after doing that shit.
Yeah. And it's a
you spent $35 on the phone and get a 10-cent piece of junk.
And I'm looking at this mural, right? And this is 92. And so, fortunately, I remember, like, but, like, I'm looking at it and I know Storm and the Human Torch and the Gladiator. And I think there's Dracula and Nova and Moon Knight. But then there's, like, some chick I'd never seen before. I think the old Iron Man some Japanese dude. I have no idea what he's doing. A big stone monster, another three human torches, Archangel the Hulk, some dude in red, then Nighthawk and the Falcon and, like, Angry Thor. And then, like, another three Iron Mans and Wonder Man and some blonde dude and some other blonde dude who I think might be either Captain Marvel or someone else. Then what, another two Iron Mans. This is ridiculous. And so I bet you had to know who all these characters were, which you would have if you were reading comics at the time. It's ridiculous. I should take a picture of that, too.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And this, it's a mural of all these characters. And so...
Is that what you win?
No. I don't know what you win. They don't tell you what you win. You win a random-ass prize.
They must tell you what you win.
All win- Oh, never mind. You're right. I'm an idiot. All winners receive a limited edition poster of the art shown here.
Yeah, you're right, Mike.
It's signed by Art Von Lim, Terry Austin, and Paul Mounts.
That's probably worth the fortune. I bet Toy Hunter walks in and says, "Hey, did you know this poster's limited? You have to sit on the phone for 25 minutes.
And hit 1P, 2P.
1P, 2P. There was only two ever made because nobody played the contest. <That's right.
laughs> Only two of these were ever released.
Oh, yeah. And then the comic keeps going on with eight more pages of... Silver Surfer fighting against Red has to go away. But at the last page, she's like, "I want you, and I'm going to have you." And that's the end of the issue. So, yep.
That was just the Skype thing.
Uh-oh. Did I go away?
Just for a second.
You missed nothing. You missed another pages of a fight scene.
Reptile and Silver Surfer fighting.
Yeah, essentially the entire issue is just those guys duking it out. And then some random chick shows up in the middle of it.
Ron Mars.
Yeah. Getting things done. The best thing I read this week, or the past 2 weeks, was X-Men Annual number 8, I believe, from 1984.
I'll have to look this one up now.
Yeah. It starts out with Logan in his awful hat and ridiculous, like, low-cut shirt. No, it's unbuttoned all the way down to the navel, I believe.
What number did you say?
Number 8. X-Men Annual, Volume 1, Number 8, 1984, published by Marvel Comic Group. Let's see, who gets credit for this? No one gets credit for this, damn it. No, seriously.
It says written by Claremont.
Oh, it's at the very back. Claremont and... Steve Leolaha. Artist.
Legolas?
And Joe Duff had an idea. That's it. Like, he's literally credited as original idea. And then someone else colored it and someone else lettered it. Oh, look, your buddy Ann Nocienti was the editor.
Yeah, she was the editor back then.
And Jim Shooter, of course.
I feel so bad, but man, I just don't like it. I actually feel guilty because it's like she's just killing the books, though, man.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
She's not good. What happened? I remember I liked her Daredevil run.
It has been a while.
Like I feel about I know you like it, but the same way I feel about James Robinson and stuff now. Like I feel like.
Oh, but did you read The Shade? Oh, so good.
I think I've read him in the past. Like, Cry for Justice is the most atrocious thing I've read in my entire life. Shit is so bad. And I'm like, he used to write good books, but what the fuck?
Well, I like what he's doing with Earth 2 what was the other one I just mentioned? Oh, The Shade just finished up.
You just mentioned, yeah. Anyway, X-Men Annual number 8. Wolverine telling us a dumb ghost story because they're all at a campfire and Storm is sad because she has no powers and everyone just like looking at her all being sad stuff. They're all like, "Oh, Storm is sad." And Kitty, I forgot what everyone looked like in the 80s. Like, it's way different. One, whoever drew it makes them all look like they're all made out of Lego blocks, but Like, Kitty Pryde looked nothing like the Kitty Pryde I'm more used to. From, I guess, not the 80s. And Lockheed is cute. And there's all these other characters who I do not know who any of them are. Because this is, well, not any of them. I know some of them, but, like...
That's a weird art style. It almost looks like something like Alan Davis, but not quite.
Yeah, like, it's not Alan Davis, clearly, but
it's not as refined. Do you know what I mean? But it kind of looks loosely like it.
Yeah, I don't, like, it's... You get used to it once you get into the story, but at first, it's kind of... Especially when you haven't been reading that, you're like, oh, what's this?
Wolverine looks like shit on the cover.
Yeah, it looks bad on
the cover. That looks awful.
Oh, dude.
Colossus looks pretty damn bad, too.
What is even Colossus on that cover, though? Like, it's such a weird...
It looks like it looks like they're all sitting in the, like, I gotta take a shit pose.
They're all squatting for poop.
Yeah, they're squatting like they're pooping, but there's nothing underneath them.
And, like, I think that's Emma Frost on the cover, I believe.
Or Emma Dazzler. I don't know. Dagger.
I thought it was all of them. Until I read the story where I realized it must be Emma Frost.
Ah. The chest piece there looks like Dazzler, like something Dazzler would wear.
Yeah.
Or a cloak. Not cloak, dagger.
Dagger. Maybe a pole
part. It's like a dagger emblem right underneath her boobies.
Yeah. It's strange. Also, an entirely impractical like design choice for an outfit to wear. But, like, yeah, that's an awful cover. And it gets really confusing at the end when there's, like, all these people who look very similar with their square faces talking at each other.
You know what Steve Liola's doing now?
What's he doing now?
He was the inker on Fables.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair to him, it's been, like, 28 years.
Yeah. Plus, this is an annual, too, so you never know what circumstances.
Yeah, you never know Marvel, like...
We need an annual for next week.
Annual, which is why, you know, Jim Shooter came to him and was like, "We need a book now," and he was like, "All right, we got it." Which is why Joe Duffy gets credited with having an original idea. They just went to Joe in the office, like,
"We need an idea."
Like,
will have Lockheed in this book.
Lockheed will tell, like, they will tell a story. Done. All right, space. So here we are.
Okay, Lockheed and his pet girl Kitty.
Yep, that's the name of the story. it is told by Ileana, which is it's magic. And even though in this issue, no one gets called by superhero names the entire time. It's an annual, and they're at a cookout, and they're just having fun together as a group. And Professor X is walking?
What?
He's walking currently. Well, he's dead now, but... He was walking.
Professor X is walking.
There were so many instances of him walking, not walking, walking, not walking.
Time in X-Men lore. It's interesting because unlike now, well, I guess maybe a little bit now, this is it's clearly a school. Like, Professor X is clearly the teacher in charge. He's, like, sending the kids to bed, and they're all like, oh, no, we don't want to. Like, it's the dynamic. It's very much like... old X-Men before everything was different. Like, this is clearly like a school story where they're out camping as a field trip or something like that. And all the kids are sad because everything sucks in life. Apparently, Colossus's girlfriend had just died. I don't even know who this chick is. And he feels bad about it. Storm lost her powers. Kitty is just always sad. Let's see, who else is there? Oh, what's the Native American chick's name? I can never remember. It isn't Thunderbird, is it? Something absurd like that.
Not the girl. Thunderbird is the one that the Native American that died in Claremont's like first arc.
Right.
And then somebody else, Warpath, took his place, and then...
Yeah.
I don't know if he's back to Thunderbird now. Is he?
I have no idea. what any of the X-Men are doing these days. They're everywhere, and they're fighting each other, and they're fighting the
Avengers. Can't believe I can't think of her name either, because she's like in the Valkyrie lore too. Like she has something to do with Asgard. She is,
but I'm not like I cannot remember.
Just look at New Mutants; you'd find it.
Yeah. I know she was like. She's part of a new team whenever, like, when Storm and Colossus first showed up. And, like, I know this team so well. Like, I know, but now I'm just, like, I know Storm and Colossus and Magic and Native American Cats.
Who Mirage? Is that her name?
Is it Mirage?
Well, it was Karma, Cannonball, Mirage were some of the originals.
Yeah, it's driving me up. Wolverine was
like, Magma, Magic, I mean...
Whatever, dude. Well, anyway, she's hanging out there. They're just being weird together.
Wolfsbane. Anyway. It's Mirage.
All right, we're going to go with that for now.
Yeah, Danielle Moonstar.
I don't even think they call her, like, Mirage a lot. They mostly call her Danielle.
Yeah. They don't even bother. Well, this whole issue, there's no superhero names anyway. So if you, like, I'm fortunate enough that I know enough of, like, this era of the X-Men to be able to kind of figure things out. Otherwise, if you were reading this at the time, you would be familiar with it. But, like, if you weren't sure, like, if you only knew, like, the new X-Men stuff, like, going on now, and you came across this issue of, like, this annual, you would just be out of luck. For, like, a good part of it. Except for Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is pretty obviously Nightcrawler. But, anyway, so, they're sitting around a campfire, and they're telling a story. And the story is the adventures of Lockheed the Space Dragon and his pet girl, Kitty. So, apparently in this story, this is, like, one of those, like, not quite alternate universe stories, where Kitty is... like, on a giant spaceship. It's a baby. Like, not a baby, like, a toddler. And the evil White Queen and evil Black King show up, and they blow up her spaceship. Boom, boom, explosions. And then this evil, like, fish monster robot thing comes on board and kidnaps her. It's, like, literally a fish monster robot. I don't know, like, what else this thing could be described as. And it kidnaps her, and poor Kitty is taken away, and for some reason the White Queen wants to turn Kitty into her personal, like, puppet thing or whatever. But then Kitty learns that she can phase through things.
She didn't know that before?
No, this is an alternate universe story. This is the story of Pet Kitty.
It's a story of a story.
Yeah.
Through Lockheed's eyes.
Yeah, it's like a fake origin story for Kitty Pryde. So, Kitty's parents are, like, off in space, but Kitty is trying to survive in this spaceship, and the evil White Queen, who I think is supposed to be an analog to Emma Frost. Was Emma created in the 80s? She was around, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know when her first appearance is,
She tries to turn Kitty Pryde into a diamond, so I'm guessing that's Emma. Or some version of. All right, and so then Lockheed's gang of pirates, which consists of a hideous Wolverine, like an absolutely atrocious Wolverine, and God, this is so 80s. Can you hear that in the background?
Yeah, a little bit.
She is not cake update.
Cake update.
She's pouring chocolate chips into a bowl that she is going to mix in with some other stuff in order to then she's going to melt it, and it's going to create a ganache. So,
what's in a ganache?
Melted chocolate and heavy cream.
Oh, is that what you just said? Is that it?
Yep. No, an actual ganache is melted chocolate and heavy cream. Anything else is not ganache. Oh, she's measuring it. So she has the proper weight, because if you do it wrong, it won't come out right. So let me make sure she's grabbing the heavy cream. Yeah, it is heavy cream.
So right, because it has to be thick, right?
Yes. And you can actually, and I think what she might do with this is after she makes the ganache, she might then whip it to have whipped ganache. So just a little lighter and frothier. So, but like regular ganache is just heavy cream and melted chocolate, and that's it. If you use chocolate and water, you don't have ganache.
Doesn't sound good. Ganache is a word that doesn't sound like I want to stick in
my mouth. The etymology on the on ganache is, I'm sure, something awesome.
No ganache is good ganache.
Gary ganache.
Far from the bridge, cadres of heavily armed warriors rush confidently towards their foe. Unfortunately for them, they quickly find him. Their armor proves little defense against claws forged of adamantium, the strongest metal known, and their most powerful blows are rendered virtually ineffectual by Wolverine's adamantium-laced and therefore pretty much unbreakable skeleton. Elsewhere in the huge vessel, Nightcrawler does his fair share, using acrobatic skills and prehensile tail, and most importantly, the ability to teleport to excellent advantage. And this just goes on. Or they describe the entire fight scene in this manner, because I believe Ileana is telling the story. So, like, it goes from like Ileana narrating it to just being a regular comic book, where like it just, oh shit, I forgot about this. There's a place, CBS. This whole book has advertisements for like Saturday morning, like blocks of stuff.
Yeah, I remember those.
First one is Muppet Babies. God, the art is so bad and hasn't lasted well. GF Talong Gang? Get along.
Ganache is ready.
Yeah, no, the oven, the pizza, fuck me.
Pizza's ready.
No, the first cake is.
Oh, the first cake is ready.
Something's going on there. And then there's Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. Pole position.
Oh, yeah, pole position. Fantastic.
Richard Pryor had a Saturday morning TV show. And then Space Ace, Qbert, I Can't Read This, and Donkey Kong.
I remember that. I remember when that block was on.
Yeah. So this was starting September 15th on CBS.
Did you say Pac-Man?
I think that's when I stopped caring.
That's when I gave up.
I was like, I gave up on these damn cartoons.
Anyway, I am giving up.
Then Emma Frost's first appearance is 1980, so you nailed it.
Emma Frost comes up and finds her parents, and Kitty's like, Mom and Dad. And then Emma's like, too late. If you had done what I told you to do, this wouldn't happen. She turns them into diamonds and crushes them and breaks them into a billion pieces, and they're dead, right? And they're falling on top of Kitty Pryde, like the flakes of her dead parents are just raining down on her. And so she's like an emotional wreck who cries all the damn time. But then a dragon shows up and lights them on fire. And the Black King, I think it's Sebastian Shaw, takes Emma Frost away. Is Sebastian short? I have no idea.
Not that I remember.
Well, sure, whoever the Black King is right now is shorter than Emma.
Puck?
No, it's not. It's definitely not Puck. Like, he's not a midget. He's just shorter than Emma, so.
I think Emma was always tall.
Okay. It's hard to tell with comics sometimes because their heights fluctuate wildly here and there.
Depends on the angle.
Yeah, depends on how they're being drawn. What kind of floating platform? Anyway, Kitty Pryde warps inside of a dragon, but it's not a big dragon. It's actually a little dragon. It's a cute little Lockheed. Oh my god! And so Lockheed rescues Kitty Pryde, and then Kitty Pryde joins the group with Nightcrawler and Wolverine, and they go off on some adventures together. But the whole time, she's a sad sack and cries a bunch because her parents are dead. But the spaceship is actually Ileana. Oh my god. This is a really bizarre story, by the way. If you couldn't tell. Then they fast forward like 15 years where Kitty Pryde is an adult and runs around with the crew. And they have a chance to go exact revenge on the White Queen for being an awful human being generally. Oh no, I missed a part. They go to a party where Kitty Pryde meets Colossus and falls head over heels in love, and Professor X is banging the Shire lady, and it's all happy fun. I forgot. Oh my god!
I think she's pretty sexy. Her hair's kind of weird, but
she has a lot of hair.
Yeah, she's got like a funky hairstyle.
I don't know why I imagine the Shire. All at play, and Nightcrawler is wearing like this ridiculous 18th century style hat with a big plume in it.
He dressed a lot like a pirate and shit.
Yeah,
that was weird.
He had a mini series where he was a pirate, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't understand that shit. I like the priest Nightcrawler, the guy who's like, "You're doing wrong, my son."
No, I like the pirate.
I like the priest.
Person is weird. Like, it's because I never read the X-Men with, like, I didn't read it currently, but not in the series. So every time I see Nightcrawler, he's like, whenever I come across the stories.
Is he still dead?
I have no. I don't think he undied.
I don't know how he undied. I was reading it. I mean, his death was pretty awesome, but I like that. That was a good death. I like his, when they explore like his religion and his powers are just badass, like in the movie where he's just like phasing in and out of everywhere, kicking everybody's ass. It's like bamf, bamf, bamf. You smell brimstone everywhere. It's awesome.
It's fantastic when he walks into the in the White House and like kicks the shit out of all those dudes. Just
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Great. Really,
it's always
well.
Good when someone figures out how to exploit the powers in the most visual way.
Yeah, like that was the best. That's one of those really awesome like fight scene things. Really cool to see. You got it right, and it didn't look hokey or anything. Great. Now the kick is more done.
Is that a timer or the microwave?
That's the oven.
Ah.
It's the oven timer. No, the Nightcrawler that's around now is the Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler.
That's right. I forgot about that. Oh. They had that storyline where they went back and then he came back with them.
Right.
So fucking convoluted.
They jumped through a lot of hoops to get it the way they want.
Well, I got a better idea than rebooting the universe. Why not just like tell whatever story you feel like telling and ignoring continuity and pretend like nothing ever happened before?
You mean like an annual?
Yes. So, Emma Frost shows up to the party and turns everyone into giant diamond ice sculptures. And then there's an advertisement that looks like a comic book for some little kid whose TV is exploding, which seems dangerous to me. And then a giant peacock comes out of it, which is the NBC like kids thing, I guess, or whatever. Looks like it's on drugs, by the way.
You mean Cocky? I loved Cocky.
Is that his name?
No.
Oh, I didn't know. Listen, if you said something like that, who am I to dispute you? This is before I was born. 2 years before I was born, actually. So, and on this commercial, you get Kid Video, which is a new show. I have no idea what the fuck is going on here. This is weird to me. Kid Video will take you to the flip side of the universe where the Master Blaster is waging a battle to rule the entire rock and roll world.
Yeah, no idea.
Nope. Mr. T's cartoon. The Snorks. The Pink Panther and Sons, which I never knew existed and I'm really sad about. And it is proof that anybody, like, the people from the 80s are like, they need to stop remaking our stuff. We're doing it first because that's a cash-in if I ever saw one. And then
the original Pink Panther is awesome.
It is awesome, but why is there a show about his kids?
I don't know. Kids probably that age like it.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember.
Loved it.
This stuff was like after Mike and I's time.
Yeah, then there's Going Bananas.
And then Mike is like, he's in our time, even though he's so damn young. He's not in the time that he should have been in.
Superman and His Amazing Friends. But instead of showing Fire Chick, who is she?
Firestar.
It's Spider-Man, Iceman, and then the little kid from the commercial. So
that's weird.
Yeah, there's no Firestar, so. And then there's the Smurfs, then there's Alvin and the Chipmunks, and there's One to Grow On, so.
I was still watching cartoons during that time.
Like, that was weird. It was really
I remember fun. Suffering through the Smurfs just so I could catch Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
I like the Smurfs.
I never liked the Smurfs.
I was never
Papa Smurf.
Never liked the Smurfs.
I could not get into them. I mean, they looked cool. The cartoon animation looked. I liked it. It just there's only one chick for a bunch of Smurfs. That's bullshit. How do they breed? Well, isn't Smurfette like created by Gargamel? Yeah, she's. So they didn't have females. How did they breed?
They don't breed. That's why there's only those Smurfs. They've always been just the Smurfs. That's it. Just those crew.
A lot of dudes.
But she has no job title. Her job is to be the chick. Like
they don't have genitalia.
I think they introduced a girl in the cartoon that had glasses, but I don't remember.
They did.
Brainy used to dress up as a girl.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Oh, wait. That sounds
just
right.
just to help give a Smurfette a break once in a while.
Someone to hang out with. And
I'm gonna spread my legs here. Come on, Smurfs.
Did that? I don't think that's how Smurfs work. My show was David the Gnome, even though it scared the crap out of me as a kid.
I don't even hear that. Hear about it?
David the Gnome.
Uh-huh. David the Gnome.
Okay, it's a cartoon show about a gnome, like a little, like, you know, like a lawn gnome or whatever.
They are creepy, though. Gnomes are...
And he lived in the super depressing forest full of dark stuff. It's a show that was created, I believe, in 85, so it must, I guess, you know.
Was it a claymation thing or animation?
Oh, Marionettes?
No, it was cartoon.
Oh.
Came to television in 1987.
Hmm.
I was too old for cartoons.
Right. It only lasted 22 episodes.
And now you're watching them.
I'm too old. Again. Well, there's like a brief moment in time, like 17 to 21, where you can't watch cartoons.
Yeah, that's kind of when I dropped out, too, although I would record The Hulk. I think that came after Amazing Friends, sometime shortly after that.
I think I have... No, never mind. I have the 90s Hulk cartoon. Like, I have the whole thing. But, yeah, that was a weird thing. So, anyway, back to action. Lockheed shows up to help fight off whatever. And the whole time, like, Ileana's head is randomly floating around because she's, like, an artificial spaceship intelligence. So her face is just floating around in the different background scenes if you look for it. It's really strange. It's disturbing. And so they go on a mission to find Lockheed, but they need to find Storm, who's the best pilot in the galaxy, but something happened, and now she doesn't want to fly anymore because she lost her nerve. And they have to give her a pep talk because Storm is sad. And so they give her a pep talk, and Rogue is like Storm's like sidekick or whatever, who looks way different than Rogue normally looks and is just really angry all the time. I don't know what's going on. And so they fly to this weird, random ice palace thing.
How long is this issue?
Oh.
There's a lot of... This is like a miniseries.
You get your money's worth. It was only a buck.
Yeah, it's only a dollar, and it's at least...
You can't talk about comics, modern comics, much story.
A home world full of dragons? This isn't like... They fight. I'm like skipping over stuff. Like they fight against the Ice Queen again, and they win this time. Like Wolverine kills the Black King, and then I believe either Lockheed or Kitty Pryde kills the Ice Queen. Kitty Pryde kills the Ice Queen with a mirror or something. No. She fucks up the Ice Queen, and then the dragons kill her. And then Colossus is like, "I want to love you." And then they're happy, and there's crying all the time because of what Kitty Pryde does. And it turns out that Lockheed didn't actually go missing. Lockheed ended up on this planet with a bunch of dragons who needed him to There's only girl dragons left. No more boy dragons. So Lockheed had to go, you know, do his duty.
Nice.
And knock them boots. And the story ends, and Storm is like, thank you, Magic. I feel so much better now. I'm going to go off and travel the world and not be an X-Men right now because I don't have power, so I can do my own thing somewhere else. And Wolverine is hanging out with some people, and they're hanging out having a good time. Hunter. Is her name just Hunter? Really? They had ran out of superhero names quick, didn't they? Maybe that's her real name. I don't know. And Wolverine is hanging out with this chick named Hunter. And then Lockheed is dreaming of some dude who looks like Quicksilver but wearing like a belly shirt. I need to put a picture of that up too. It's really weird. And that's it. That's it. And then Ileana puts the fire out. And that's the end of the story. It's real. It's real quaint. And like 80 pages long. It's actually only 40-something pages.
That's pretty long.
Only 40 pages. But each of those pages has like 85 dialogue boxes and like 5 panels to a page. And so it takes, I think it took me like a good 40 minutes to crank through that book. I just read it again just now while we were telling. Like the story, it's awesome. So if you can find X-Men Annual number 8, that's actually a good annual.
I wonder if I have that. Let me check my list.
I don't.
I probably do.
I have the one after it. A lot of what Mike is reading, I don't have.
You don't have a lot of these dime issue books?
Nah, I don't have them.
Do you have the Mighty Gift?
Do I have what?
Avengers number 52 from 1985.
Which issue? Avengers number 52?
No, the Mighty Avengers issue 252.
That's probably just the Avengers.
It might be.
They threw the Mighty in there for a while. 252.
See, Doc Samson is studying psychology of people who hate mutants. Captain America is drawing pictures of the Scarlet Witch. The Vision is sad about everything because he's in charge of the Avengers and is sad. And then his house burns down, and him and Scarlet Witch are like, our house burned down. And they're sad. And Captain America goes to visit a military facility where these two dudes get turned into the Blood Brothers. And Hercules fights them and loses his pants and is sitting there. And Captain America's like, we're in mixed company. Scarlet Witch is like, I don't care. I've seen penises before. It's not that big a deal. And gives Hercules her coat. That's the story. That's the entire... Oh, and Captain Marvel, who is Monica Rambeau at this point in time, is sent into space to fight something. She never fights anything. She just flies into space. And the Vision captures someone who I think might be the Black Knight, but I'm not certain. His name is Dane Whitman.
Yeah, that's the Black Knight.
Yeah, they don't pay, though. But the Vision captures him, and I think the Vision turned evil soon.
That sounds good. I think I'd be more interested in that one than the Lockheed. I'm not a alternate reality storytelling. Well,
an alternate reality, it's a campfire story. So.
Yeah.
It's weird. That's it. I read old books. Unless you really cared about this random ass issue of Wonder Man, which I don't think I actually read. It's another Infinity War crossover. I have so many issues of like this Infinity War crossover, which I think I might have the entire thing.
You just gotta find order to read them in.
Yeah, I just don't know order to read them in because I remember flipping through it and being like, I don't know what the hell's going on here because it drops you right in the middle of a story. Wonder Man is kicking the shit out of everybody. That's what he does, I think.
I read the first issue of Grim Fairy Tales Robin Hood. And it's spelled R-O-B-Y-N. It's a female Robin Hood.
Original.
Yeah.
Is that newer?
Yeah, what? it's brand new.
Okay.
It starts off better than I think it ends because it starts off with like this this guy invading this church and stealing this baby, and then these mystical beings like you see in Superman 1 where they go guilty, guilty. They show up and they're like, well, you have to kill the baby because you know what that baby's going to turn out to do. And instead of killing the baby, this dude leaves her at a doorstep where she's raised by a woman that's really sick and a father that's very abusive. And she steals a lot of shit to get medication for her mother. So I was enjoying the story, and then it goes into this weird fantasy type storyline, which I didn't care so much. But the how she gets from reality to the fantasy world is she's still these dudes are picking on her, or because I don't know, she's kind of like an outcast. And she steals the dude's car, and he's like the senator's son, real rich dude, and they actually wreck it and beat the shit out of her, it looks like. And then she ends up in the fantasy world. And I don't know if I'm going to check out the new issue, but I might. It's one of those impulse buys that I just bought off the shelf. Has a really cool cover. I like the cover. This is cover. It's Stephen Sajic. Stefan Stajic.
The painted guy?
Yeah. That's why. And then, like, the covers for this book were really good because it had the Nei Rufino did one, which I like her art. And then Greg Horn did the other, and Stephen Sajic did the other. So, yeah, it's good art. The insides never match the outside, though.
No, they always have.
I would call them like artists that are very good storytellers, but their art style doesn't really stand out as being like anything great. But every time I think I'm getting out of the Grim Fairy Tales world, I get drawn back in. So the Incredible Hulk number 14 was amazing. It's the Hulk United Part 2. They've actually joined again. You know, you had that weird Memento shit happening with the Hulk in the Stay Angry one. And now the Hulk and Banner are one and the same. And it had this panel in here that I thought was freaking amazing where that you were like inside of Bruce Banner's mind or the Hulk's mind. And it's awesome because they're both in there and they have like a video game control system, like this big control system with a joystick and all this shit. And it's like, you're looking inside their mind, and he's like, Hulk, take over. There's somebody invading our mind. So he gives it to Hulk, and he's got the dial where it's got the angry dial and shit. I just thought it was awesome. And then the Doombots are all trying to protect Latveria as the Hulk's invading it with that one chick that Jason Aaron invented, I think, with that Igor to try to destroy the Hulk at the very beginning of the story arc. But Jason Aaron's run on the Hulk has turned out to be one of my favorites. So, yeah, he's doing some very unique and fun stuff. I'd recommend it.
How close is that to the end of it?
I think next issue's it.
Okay.
And it's a damn shame because a lot of the Marvel books that I'm getting are that I'm enjoying are ending. And I did check out Uncanny Avengers, number one. And I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It was Rick Remender and John Cassidy. And it starts off with Wolverine doing a eulogy for Professor X because Professor X is dead. Cyclops killed him while under the influence of the Phoenix Force. I want to stress that because there's a lot of arguments on the interwebs about that.
How many times has X died?
I don't know.
Time dying? I feel like he died before at some point in time.
I'll have to Google that because I don't remember him dying. I remember him vanishing for long periods of time.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe
it seems like for the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years of reading X-Men. Because I'm not like a big X-Men buff, but I have jumped on fairly recently in the last decade. Do you know what I mean? Reading it pretty regularly. And he just seems like he's always been not a major character anymore, like he was in everything pre-90s and 90s. Just seems like he's there. And then they kind of brought him back because Cap was like, we need your help. And he's like, yeah, we'll help you. And that didn't turn out so well.
Well, like, there's no, like, I wonder if there's not a school for gifted young mutants. And there's a, is there a book right now that is just taking place inside of a school?
Yeah, Wolverine and the X-Men.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the kid's book. He like made the school, which is kind of I have problems with just because of who he is and what he does.
Yeah.
Like, to me, they've made him really hypocritical because he kills. And he's also taken X-23, who is a kid, and turned her into a killer, even though reluctantly doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Warpath is young, but he was a killer too. And then he's teaching kids not to. And it kind of bothers me, even though I understand kind of what he's doing, but you should practice what you preach. At least that's what I think. So that's why I have issues with that book. But I hear it's good, but I don't read it. And Jason Aaron's doing it. He's very, very fun styled his writing in the Marvel Universe. It's not like Scalped. I mean, I love Scalped. But Scalped is like the darkest book that you could be reading because it's so depressing, but so intriguing at the same time, and so real. Like you could actually see some of this shit happening. But this is Cap and the Avengers trying to recruit mutants to try to bring them. I guess he feels obligated based on what happened to try to make mutants seen in a good light. And they tackle Avalanche in this book, who's like killed a bunch of people, and him and Thor don't take him out, but it looks like they bury him under a lot of rubble, and Havoc shows up, and they're trying to convince him to be the leader of the team because Scott is seen in such a negative light now, so they want his brother to be seen in a positive light, which I don't understand. And then Rogue has a little confrontation with Scarlet Witch, which is really interesting.
I will be glad when this is all over. Like, nothing against the story. Like, I'm not rereading it, so I can't say whether it's bad or not. But I will be happy whenever the dust settles and maybe there's just, like, more contained stories. There's people fighting all the time for no reason.
Yeah. I would like for them to get out of the hero versus hero.
I don't like it at all.
Well, I can see it happening, but it's happening over and over again.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems. This event was probably one of the better ones, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I can see Scott getting fucked up because the Phoenix Force warps your brain. In other words, it takes ideas that you have in your head and twists them into some fake reality that, yes, you might have something that you think about a lot, but it warps it into something that it's not. So I don't see Scott as a bad person. I see him as a person that was trying to protect his people, and then the Phoenix Force came inside of him, and then he lost his marbles. But Cap came across as a huge dick to me, and he has Scarlet Witch on his fucking team. Do you know what I mean? That the whole thing about hypocritical things bother me because she wiped out the mutants.
Yeah.
But yet it's okay for her to be on the team, you know? I just don't understand that.
There are problems of logic with all these. Well, there's a problem when you have these characters with like these 80-year-long histories and trying to stay consistent to who they are throughout, you know, the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it just gets kind of weird over time. But the problem with the hero versus hero stuff is that I'm supposed to like all of, like, to some degree, I'm supposed to like all these characters, at least enough to root for them against, like, other bad guys and whatnot.
Right.
But here there are no bad guys. There's just these, and they all end up acting out of character because they can't act completely, because in character, Captain America, even though he's like a total dickwad, is supposed to be a reasonable dude, and Cyclops is supposed to be a reasonable dude, and everyone, like all these people, are supposed to be somewhat reasonable human beings at least some of the time.
And that's the whole problem, Micah, is that they open up the series with Cap landing on Utopia, And Cyclops shooting him. And I saw that. And these guys are smart dudes. They're leaders. Do you know what I mean? And this is before the Phoenix Force got at him. Like, I see those guys sitting at a table and say, hey, let's see what we could do to, you know, avert this situation.
Yeah, you hammer. They would get in a room.
And then have Bendis write that arc because he does good a lot around people around a table, you know?
They sit around the table talking a lot. Like, let him do that and we'll be good. And I understand that, you know, a big event with heroes fighting each other, like, sell stuff and it's cool. But it's just, from a story's perspective, it kind of, like, warps all the other things that are going on around it as well. And so it'll be cool when the Marvel Universe gets back to not being... Also, it would be less dumb if we hadn't just had Civil War 5 years ago. We hadn't had, like, Siege, which put heroes against heroes, even though they were fake ones and so forth, right? Like, not Siege, Secret Invasion. And so forth.
It's been one event of a hero versus hero for 3 straight years or 4 straight years.
Yeah, it's been going on. Because, like, Siege had other heroes fighting other heroes because they didn't know, like... They were trying to defend bad guys and things were going... Like, the whole Marvel Universe has been kind of in that realm for a while. And I would like it if, you know, they stopped doing it for at least a year. Like, just give us a breather.
Yeah. The other thing interesting I read is this free previews. I don't know if you'll get it in your DCBS box, Bill, but it's a free preview of all the books that are being released on Marvel... You know, Marvel Now first.
Marvel Now.
And it's got Fantastic Four, FF. Let's see, Iron Man, Cap, Incredible Hulk, which you really can't tell what the fuck is happening. And the new X-Men, none of them seem good. in other words, why would you put mediocre shit out in just a preview?
Those seem to be
get
bad.
Get excited previews. About something that. And actually made me decide not to buy stuff. I mean, the one that seemed the most interesting to me is one that I'm not picking up, but it's the new X-Men, which has the old X-Men in it. But that's a Bendis story. I may pick that one up because it seemed the most interesting, but everything else seems... Captain America and Thor seemed horrible.
Did they have
Iron
the...
Man seemed horrible. Fantastic Four seemed interesting. FF... Seems interesting just because it's weird like X-Force was. You know, it's like got like Mike Allard art and stuff. It just seems very strange. Ant-Man is fighting eye boogers, and it's just crazy.
Did they have the Avengers or not?
Did you say eye boogers?
Yeah, like eye boogers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's, Iron Man seemed horrible. It didn't have the... Didn't have the new Avengers that's coming out. It had Deadpool, which I've never liked. I just don't like that character, man. Because his thing is to be funny, but I guess I don't find any of it funny. So it's like I'm struggling through the joke the whole time.
So if you don't like the joke part of it, then...
X-Men number one, Legacy, really turned me off. It was a black and white preview, and... It was Simon Spurrier. I don't know what the fuck I just read. It was so painful. But it's good because I think for the first time I'm going to be under 20 books in Marvel. And it could be even less once all the Marvel Now, once they cancel all the other books. But props to Avenging Spider-Man. I don't know if any of you guys are getting it anymore, but it's still fun. There was one issue I read about Silver Sable and Doctor Strange. It was so good. It was like Doctor Strange was going to marry some girl because the father promised Doom that the marriage, and she didn't want to get married because she's like the seventh daughter in this married from the seventh wife or some weird 777 thing going on, and she's mystical, and Doctor Doom wanted to marry her for her.
That's how wizards work.
Yeah, it was like he wanted to marry her just for her magical abilities and to steal it. So Silver Sable was hired by Doctor Strange to protect her, and it was a cool story, and it was awesome because they were like, we have to find that somebody that she's had a crush on or loved to, so she could get married to and have sex with, and they pick Spider-Man. But they don't end up having sex, but that was, I thought it was pretty funny. It was a good issue. That was a fun issue. That's like what Avenging Spider-Man started off as fun. It was Templeton with Clark doing the art. That was fun. And then we had Kelly Sue DeConnick, or I think that's Matt Fraction's girlfriend or wife. She's...
That would explain a lot.
I could just say that... How do I...
It's funny every single time.
I almost sound like, well, I don't like women writers, but it's not true because Christy Marks did really good on Sword and Sorcery. But, man, Kelly Sue can... It's not her writing style. It's almost like she doesn't care. Like, if you got a character you were writing about and you didn't give a shit, do you know what I mean? That's what it feels like when she's writing Captain Marvel.
Hmm.
At least to me.
I've not read Captain Marvel because I'm not...
And that was two-story arc, so I had... That was just mediocre. I would give that 3 out of 5 because... It was a competent story. It just was very average and very, I don't know. But then I read 12. Oh, no, not 12. 12 sucked. Zeb Wells and Steve Dillon. It was awesome. Peter and Aunt May meeting at Uncle Ben's gravesite and talking the whole issue. And it was so damn good. I mean, if you like Peter Parker and you like Aunt May, this was damn good dialogue. I mean, I loved it. It's probably one of the better books that I've read. That was 11. And then 12 had Deadpool. And that was just, man, I didn't get any of these jokes. It was like Breakfast Club. And I'm like, oh, fuck, it's just not funny. And it's continued next issue. So I have another issue of Deadpool to deal with before getting out of that.
Let's see,
I read Firestorm number 12, and I'm glad, very glad. This is the new Fury of the Firestorm. This started off as a disaster, and it's kind of ending, hopefully, and then Dan Jurgens is taking over the book, and I hope it brings the character back into some character that I like again.
I will maybe give a shot when after Jurgens has been on for like a storyline, if he like undoes whatever. I mean, I haven't read the last, I don't know, 10 issues of Firestorm, but those first couple were so, so bad. And then I flipped through some other issues, and there's like 18 Firestorm shits going on, and I'm like, what the fuck is even happening here?
Yeah, there's like one in every country. It was like this company was selling the technology to every country, so there's a Firestorm in every country, and some of them are power hungry, and some of them are good, and one turns out to be Firehawk, who was a long time. It's like they killed her in this book, and then she's back. It was weird, and it's almost like she's back. Oh no, that's not a. Yeah, it says Firehawk. That's unusual. It looks more like Killer Ice or whatever her name. Killer Frost.
Killer Frost.
Yeah, but it looks like Firehawk comes back from the dead at the very end. But I'm looking forward. That's one book where I'm really looking forward to the creative team changing because, man, it just started to derail. Well, I guess it derailed early on. Like, it just never... I'm surprised it's still going. Because I don't
see... Yeah, is it selling well?
Nah. It's at the bottom. It's towards the bottom there. I just don't know. I don't ever hear anybody saying, you got to pick up this book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, man, that when they introduced Jason Rush as the new Firestorm before the new 50-foot, that was an awesome series.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Igel was on the book for a while.
Yeah, he was. Igel was on there.
That was a good book. I think I have the entire run of Firestorm.
And the Ronnie Raymond stuff before that was awesome. Fury of the Firestorm.
Dude, some of that stuff is so awesomely of its time period. Like,
but it's great because it was like DC's version of Peter Parker.
Yeah, Ronnie is a complete moron.
Yeah, well, he was the jock.
Yeah.
So it was almost like if Peter Parker turned out to be Flash Thompson. That's the analogy I like to use. So yeah, that was good. And then just two other books. The Shadow number 3. This is a book that I stopped getting. But then I'm like, damn it, why do I read the books I stopped getting because they dropped back then? It was really good. And there's just a lot of historical things going on in this book, like between the Germans and the Nazis, the British and the Americans and the Japanese. And there's just it is awesome. And it's weird because the best part of the book is it's kind of like the spirit for me. It's like the best part of the book is when the Shadow's not in it. Because the Shadow just comes in and shoots up shit. You know what I mean? And he talks in this voice like, I'm going to kick your ass. Meet your fate. You know, he's like a spirit thing. I always picture the radio voice.
Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of man thing?
Yeah, but I enjoyed it, so I'll probably stay on that. And then the last one I want to plug is, I swore off Rob Liefeld books, but I guess I'm not going to swear off this one, even though it's not him doing it, but it's his character. But Supreme, Eric Larson, you guys are loving the glory. This is my one that I'm loving. Like, you know, some people love The Prophet. I'm loving Supreme, and you guys are loving Glory. Supreme to me is just freaking awesome because it's got like a Silver Age feel with a modern age violence. It's crazy. And it's almost like reading a Savage Dragon book, to tell you the truth. And that's why I think I like it.
Well, it is Larson, right?
Well, it is Eric Larson.
Yeah.
How long's that been going on? I think I missed Supreme.
It started soon after the others, I think.
Okay.
It wasn't at the same time, though. I think it was a couple
weeks. Right, it wasn't later. The same time as Glory and Prophet. What is Barb saying?
She's saying there's some video I need to watch on YouTube about somebody free-falling from space.
Oh, the dude who like fell like 23 miles out of a thing or something?
Yeah. Oh, did he finally do it?
Did he do it? Did he die?
Going to, right? Pressurizing the cabin now. Is this live?
Well, he's doing it now?
Yeah, it's live on YouTube.
Do it today.
What channel is it on YouTube?
Yeah, Red Bull Stratos. RedBullStratos.com and Proke Live Video. They're going to drop him?
I hope he doesn't die, but like...
What's he going to do? He's
going to jump 23 miles out of a plane, right? Or a balloon.
No, not a plane. He's going up in a balloon.
He's like...
He'll be wearing a spacesuit.
I know he's wearing a spacesuit and stuff. I just, you know...
I'd like to see if the guy has clean underwear after he's fallen.
He's going to break... I think it's cool that he's going to break the sound barrier.
Yeah, as a person.
Like falling.
Will that obliterate his face?
I don't know. He'll be deaf on it when he gets back.
That seems like a bad idea, maybe? I don't know. Well, he's in a spacesuit, so he should be fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's highly technical. It's not like he's just like some dude hooking some balloons up to his.
Well, I know, but it's still
patio furniture.
Super dangerous.
It is. Well, they canceled the first launch he was supposed to have because it was too windy.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, we watched they had the launch of the SpaceX.
Oh yeah.
Rocket. Couple weeks ago or last week, and they had that live on the internet. The launch, we watched that. It was
cool.
Why is
Colossus fighting Storm? What the fuck?
What?
I was looking through one of the previews. Let me see what month is this? It's August for October 2012, and Colossus is fighting Storm. And X-Men 37, and my brain just broke a little bit. I'm sorry. Like, it just broke my whole brain. Go ahead. I'm out. Go ahead, Bill.
I got a lot of my Kickstarter stuff starting to come in. Well, I read Alan's PDF, and then I got the PDF I haven't read for Elders of the Runestone yet. But okay. I had some issues with the Dropbox, and he just recently resent me a new link. And then I got my Halloween Eve by Brandon Montclair and Amy Reeder.
Okay. How is that?
I haven't read it yet, but okay. I gave away 2 for Geek Brunch.
Nice.
And the contest, and they were answered pretty damn quick. So, I got to ship those out. And then what else did I... There's something else I recently got. Oh, I got Jamal Igel's Molly Danger card in the mail.
Right.
Yeah, I got one of those. The Halloween Eve I didn't support, but I did pre-order that.
Yeah, I ordered it, and I guess what I ordered is like the 5 copies. And I ordered 5 copies, signed and numbered, and then I got it has like a postcard thing in there.
What are you doing with the other 2 copies extra you have?
I don't know. I'm sending them to you guys.
Sweet.
So this, yeah, it came with like a Halloween card. It's pretty awesome. It's 811 out of 1,000. I'm a big fan of Amy Reeder, so.
I like Amy Reeder.
She's awesome.
I've met her in person twice, and one of the nicest people you could meet, and one of the very few artists that I've met that did free sketches for me. So, most of them, they're not like huge sketches, but to do a free Supergirl sketch, that was awesome. And she really likes to talk to her fans. Like, she won't just, like, brush you off on next person. You know what I mean? She's awesome. So is Fiona Staples. Those are 2 awesome women. I just put down 2 other women, but there's 2 women I like. So there. Christine Marks, too, is awesome in the Amethyst. I don't know if either of you got to check out that Amethyst number.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, so good. I've never even been excited about that character, and now I am.
So is her series going to be ongoing, or is it...
Yeah, it's an ongoing one. It's got a backup feature of Beowulf, but it's...
That's entirely unexciting.
I really enjoyed it. But Aaron Lepriesti, who I got that Conan sketch from, he's doing the art for that. It's awesome art. Seems like I read a lot of shit, but I don't remember a lot of it, and I don't have it in front of me.
You gotta get you...
I've been in the mode where I'm going through my old boxes instead of my... new ones, and
it's good on you.
Well, that's the advantage of having so much. Is that if I'm not for it, I could go back and read some other stuff. Like I really got into that first wave stuff. I'm actually kind of excited to read first wave now. That's the next one I have next to my bed post is the miniseries first wave, which had all of them. Doc Savage Batman. And the Avenger and Batman and. I'm looking forward to that. Rima, the Jungle Girl. Anybody watch any TV?
Oh, it's another 2 hours for this dude, jumps off out of this thing.
Yeah, I don't know what Barb was so excited. She had a towel around her head and... like, yeah, check this out, the guy's driving from space!
In 2.5 hours, I'll watch a man maybe plummet to his death. Wait, hold on.
It is coming across really clear. I'm watching it on my iPad here.
Wait, apparently he did jump. There's something else going on. Now I'm confused.
No, this is a live countdown. He's still in space.
But below it, it's like, Felix is now descending. Data delay possible during transmission.
A live webcast of the Red Bull Strat.
This is so awesome for people listening to it like 4 or 5 days later.
Don't know.
You guys are just talking about nothing happening.
This happened days ago.
All right, he's not jumping now. Let's see if anything on Twitter will help me out. No, Twitter is not useful at all, so scratch that.
I don't think I've watched any movies except for the... I think there was a movie I watched that was based on a children's book. Not a children's book, a teen book. What was it? Tomorrow After Today or something like that. Gosh.
The Day After Tomorrow?
No, I'll have to go find it. Where's my recently watched? Recently watched on Netflix. Tomorrow When the War Began. It was it's a Red Dawn in Australia, essentially.
Ah.
Any good?
It's a Red Dawn is way better to me because it's just more action and stuff. But it has some cool scenes. This is, you could tell it came from a teen book, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It has that flavor to it. I guess the acting is good. It has a cool scene where they're driving a garbage truck and getting shot at. I like that. But it has like no resolution other than they took out a bridge and it looks like it's one of those novels that continues, like a Harry Potter type book.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the first part.
All right. So does it resolve anything in the first one?
Not really. In other words, it's the premise of this is very similar to Red Dawn, other than a bunch of, I don't even know if they're in high school. They look older than high school. They look like they're somewhat getting ready to go to college or something. Bunch of kids go to the mountains to have a camp out, and when while they're camping out, they see a bunch of planes, all kinds of shit just flying by, and they don't think anything of it. And then it smells like jet fuel, and they're like, "What the hell's going on?" It looks like he's jumping. Holy shit!
Jumping or going up?
No, he just. I don't know if I'm watching this live, but I'm seeing him fall.
Okay, he's
10 seconds, 11 seconds, 12 seconds.
I'm like behind it. You somehow. Like, I'm only at 12 seconds now.
Yeah, he's fallen.
Well, this,
estimated
how long,
speed,
hold on.
500 miles per hour.
How long is this dude going to fall? Like, it seems like he might have...
Only like 6 minutes.
I don't even... All I see is like a dot right now.
6 minutes? I'll come back to that later. All right, so...
That's too long. 6 minutes? God, forever.
How did he even burn up? Is he not that high?
No, he's not that high.
Actually, Liz looks like he's on fire.
Oh my god, he's on fire.
Roswell, New Mexico, huh? That's pretty crazy.
Speedbreaker for fastest free fall. He's doing it for the kids.
I hope he doesn't land in hit the dirt or something. Is he supposed to, like, hit the
parachute?
Water?
He won't do a parachute, right? Like, because that seemed to be completely ineffectual.
Yeah, they'll do a parachute.
He's going to parachute? Okay.
Well, what else is he going to do? Just hit the ground, bounce?
Maybe they have a mattress waiting for him.
He's 1 minute and everybody's clapping. No, why are they... He's not down yet.
Maybe he survived the hardest part.
I wonder if he's talking.
He broke the record. He broke some sort of record. I don't think he's talking.
But he could be dead and they're clapping. I don't understand. All you see is a body.
Maybe they can read his vital signs.
Oh, that's probably it.
They're hooked into something and they're, you know.
Wow, I just lost it at 2:04. It just stopped.
Okay, so that's when he died.
Oh, that's a damn shame.
Anyway, this is super exciting television or radio.
So anyway,
we're documenting it live.
These kids go out, they come back, and they find their whole home's destroyed and stuff. And it doesn't tell you like what country invaded. You know, it doesn't say, you know, this was, you know, Korea or. But it's some place of Asian descent because they do show a couple of their faces, even though they're all in black, you know, black costume. And they pretty much decide to do some guerrilla war fighting and take out a bridge And that's pretty much it. That's all they did was take out the bridge and kill like five or six of them. But there was one girl that was real religious. I won't shoot a gun. I won't shoot a gun. And she almost got them killed a couple of times. And then she pulls out a semi-automatic at the end and just blows away five or six of them. So it was okay. Anybody else watch any movies?
I watched a movie. It was a foreign film. It was a Greek film called Dogtooth. And it was awesome. I loved it. So here's the premise. There's this family, so this husband and wife who they don't really explain why, but for some reason they decide that the world is, well, I guess because the world is too evil and they want to protect their kids from the evils of the world. So they decide to keep their kids at home, homeschool them, and not let them ever go into the real world to the extent that there's no phones in the house, there's no TV, there's no internet, there's no radio, no nothing. So the story starts up and these kids are in their maybe early 20s. So at this point, they're not kids anymore. And, oh, so in order to keep these kids in the home, because you figure by the time they're this age, they'd want to leave or whatever, they tell them that, so there's a big fence around the whole place. The father goes to work every day and comes back. But they tell them that there's wild cats out there that'll kill you if you go out of the off the property. So if you leave the house, you'll get killed by these cats. And let's see. So the kids are getting older, so they realize that the son will have sexual urges, right? And he'll need some kind of outlet. So they bring in this woman who is a security guard at the husband's where the husband works to sleep with the son. And because of this, this is like a...
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked up. It gets more fucked up. Because she's a outsider, at some point she bring something from the outside world into the house, which kind of throws off the whole dynamic in the house. And so the weird part of this is, well, to add to the weirdness, they do like weird stuff with the kids, kind of like almost like weird experiments. It seems like I can't tell if they're doing it for fun. They're obviously doing it for fun. So at one point the mother says, well, let me think what started this. I can't remember exactly why she did it, but she told the kids that she was pregnant and that she was going to have she was pregnant with twins and a dog. Oof. And a dog. So that they were going to have, it's because they had a dog and the dog was getting trained, like the dog was off getting trained and they were going to bring it back to the house.
Messed up.
Yeah, but they have no concept of like what's real and how the real world works. So, right. And I think it was because the girls started to like talk back a little bit. So to get them back in line, she said that the babies were going to have to stay in the girls' room, so they're going to have to share their rooms with these babies unless they started acting better, and if they started acting better, then the mom would not have the babies anymore. So she would end the pregnant, not have an abortion, but they would just, I can't remember how she set up, but she wouldn't be pregnant anymore.
Do you have to read subtitles?
Yeah, you have to read subtitles. I know you hate that.
Well, it's on instant streaming, I noticed.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's really good. If you're willing to watch subtitles, it's really good. I guess the director has a movie that just recently came out. I can't remember what it's called though. They had a movie that was about that just came out recently that was about people who pretend to be people who have just died to help people grieve over the dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, know he's alive. Mean? Ooh.
Did he land?
He's almost landing. He's floating with his parachute out.
I can't seem to see. I can't see the video for some reason.
His helmet is off.
He's
sailing into the land, into landing.
So he's using his parachute now.
Yeah.
He made it.
Floating around, he's just kind of like flailing about, trying to lose speed.
But he's gonna take his helmet off.
There's a helicopter. Well, the visor's up.
Okay.
He's what are you watching it on?
The Red Bull website.
Oh, okay.
But he's it's weird because the projector's off. Like, the perspective is off, and so I can't tell, like, how far off the ground he is.
Mm.
Oh, he's close. There's a shadow. And he survived. He landed. People are cheering. There's mass chaos. I think that's his family who's what we saw clapping. He took a bow. He's on his knees. He's doing something. I think he's taking a piss. He looks to be exhausted to some
degree. He is taking a piss?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just making bad jokes.
Oh my god, he's 90 years old now.
There's a cameraman. He's over there bowing.
He turned into an ape.
Oh, I have seen the future.
Damn! It's Planet of the Humans.
Is the ape Statue of Liberty around the corner?
Damn you!
Get your hands off me, you damn filthy human. He looks gassed. He needs some Gatorade. Not really. Probably bad for you.
I don't think Red Bull would like that either.
No, I guess Red Bull. Red Bull is not the kind of drink that refreshes you.
It's got caffeine.
It's not refreshing. It doesn't give your body vital nutrients. Like high fructose corn syrup.
It's late, you. Kickstarter. Go fund the Goon Kickstarter movie. And you make me happy.
They don't really have any. What do they give you for support?
They give you a movie, damn it.
So they weren't actually making the movie. They're just making a.
No, this is for the.
Trailer for the movie.
No, the trailer was already out. This is the film.
I don't think it's for the film. I think they're making something. I think they're making
movie. Let's kickstart this.
Damn it! Let me go to this page and do this since you guys seem to be ineffectual.
It's more fun to just argue about it. No, I think they're making like an extended trailer
the
so they can
movie. Let's kickstart this sucker.
It's the movie.
This is your chance to help bring everyone's favorite zombie smasher to the big screen for over 12 years. Blah blah blah, blah 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 blah. Blah blah blah. The Goon.
We'll finance a story reel for the entire film. He's right. It's not. It's financing the story reel.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Begin the filmmaking process by feature the story reel based on.
Yeah, you don't get a whole lot. Like, you know how you usually get like a cool until you pledge like $50, then you start getting stuff, but.
I mean, like, he'll make his goal, but it seems like there's not a lot of exciting things happening. Like, for $10, he should give you, like, a comic or something.
I'm going to pledge just because I'm a huge Goon fan. That's the only reason I'm going to pledge. I love that comic. I mean, it is so different and weird. I mean, it's just crazy.
You sound a little bit crazy right now.
Yeah. Do we need a cake update?
No, she's about to level the cake, the one layer thing or whatever. She's making another one. We have to make each layer. So,
I have a question on Dogtooth. Is that a movie that's real slow and progressing, or is it kind of intriguing throughout the whole movie? I don't like that pause.
I'm trying to
hear. That Bill's like,
ah! Let me break this to you. It wasn't terribly slow, but like, there's not a lot of stuff that happens. It's more slower moments. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about the interaction between the characters and the weird stuff that's going on.
Hmm.
I liked it. It's a good movie. I'm saying it.
This movie that I saw was rated R, too, and there is nothing in that movie that would make it rated R. Not even the violence. I mean, you see worse on TV than you do in this tomorrow.
Okay, hold on. Speaking of that, I watched a TV... I did watch a TV show. Aha! You reminded me. I watched the first episode of 666 Park Avenue.
Ah. Okay. I wanted to watch that, but...
That's the new ABC, like, horror show thing.
Yeah, I passed on that. How was it?
I enjoyed myself for the whatever. I thought it was a thoroughly enjoyable 40 minutes of television. I'm not going to watch another episode of it, but it, you know... That's just because, well, TV isn't my, like, 22 episodes of that. I just don't know if that's what I want in my life. But the story is this. There's this place in New York, or a demon of some sort, but we're guessing the devil, takes their soul. Like, the show opens up with some virtuoso violinist who's out here killing it with a violin. And his fingers start bleeding during the performance, and he's terrified. And he runs home, and he starts packing all of his stuff. He smashes his violin, and he gets down to the lobby, and the doors close, and all the lights turn off and stuff, and then the phone rings, and it's Terry O'Quinn, like, you done fucked up, your time's up, or whatever, and he's like, no, I just need more time, and he's like, that's not the deal, the deal was 10 years, and then he gets sucked into a door, and shit's weird, and all kinds of stuff, whatever, and then you meet this young, happy, perky couple, who are, like, from some stupid place. And they're going to become, like, the managers of this place.
Mm.
And then, so, the whole episode is you meeting, like, all the characters who live in the apartment so far. And you see who is going to, like, it sets up how each person is going to kind of sell their soul to the devil. And what good things will happen at first. And then eventually what bad things are going to happen later. So, it's positively creepy at times. But mostly, it's just, like, a dumb, fun kind of show. So, if you're into that kind of thing, it'll be good for you. But, you know. I was continuously stunned, though, at how, like, graphic it was for an ABC show. But then I keep forgetting that I haven't watched TV in a long time, so I forget what goes on network TV these days.
Graphic gore, you mean?
Yeah. Like, nothing was, like, super graphic. Like, there's dude, like, just washing blood off his hands, like, over and over again because he killed someone. His girlfriend turned into a zombie. There's, like, hands poking out of the walls at one point in time. There's, like, three sex scenes. At least three sex scenes, I believe. If not four. There might be a fourth one.
Can't be any worse than American Horror Story.
Well, that's on FX, though.
Yeah, that's on cable.
It's a cable show. Like, it's not worse than that, but it's a very different show than American Horror Story, too, though. It's not going for that kind of thing.
Oh, I can't wait for that to start up again.
A horror soap opera, I guess.
Oh, the American Horror Story Asylum.
Yeah.
I like crazy houses.
Commercials look good.
Is there any way to watch 666 Park Avenue after... Oh, it's on Hulu.
On ABC.
Website.
Or on Hulu.
Or on ABC.com, you can watch it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep. If you go to ABC's whatever. If you get the ABC iPad app, it'll be on there too.
Okay. I want to watch that, so.
Yeah. There's two episodes out so far. I think it comes on Sundays, if I'm not mistaken, so.
Yeah, that one, I like the genre, so.
If you like that kind of genre, then I think you'll enjoy the show. I liked what I watched. I'm just not going to watch it. Like, 22 episodes of it, so.
I watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia premiere.
That's
bad. Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
It's pretty raunchy. Matt has lost his weight. He's skinny again. And they, I can't remember their names. The brother and sister, they have a grandfather who's like a Nazi. So that's what the pilot talks about. It's pretty funny. Wasn't as funny as The Office has been.
Really?
Well, I love The Office opening. I don't know if it was the last one or the one before last, where they had this Chinese guy and sitting in the... He's an Asian guy. I don't know if he was Chinese. He's an Asian guy sitting in the place of Jim, and he was acting like Jim, and Dwight's like, "Who are you? Why are you sitting there?" And he says, "Well, I'm Jim, Dwight." And he's like, gives him all kinds of tests. He says, "Well, if you're Jim, you should check your voicemail and put in your code." And he does it. And then he's like, "You can't be Jim. Look at this picture." And then he's got a picture of him with the kids and his wife. it's just messing up Dwight. I love when they fuck with him.
Well, it was also good because the picture, it was him and his wife and the kids, but the kids were Asian.
Yeah, that was great. And then what's her name comes and gives him a big kiss too. Say, "Hey, Jim." I think this year of The Office is really funny.
But because they know it's over, they're putting out all the best jokes.
Well,
they're reinvigorated,
they
maybe.
New cast people, and I like them a lot. I think they're funny. They're like interns, and the show for me personally has always been about Dwight. They're still there.
Well, you'll like the spinoff show then.
Well,
is that really happening?
Spinoff show? I didn't think that was happening.
The Dwight show?
Is it not happening anymore?
Dwight on the farm or whatever?
There was a
Dwight in the beet farm?
I don't think it's happening.
Well, we don't know until after the season, right?
Did the guy land yet, Micah?
Yeah, he landed. They're all off doing stuff, whatever.
Press conference?
Sure. I stopped watching it.
I just want to know what the future is like.
Jumping out of space? Is that what we're doing in the future? Or you think he traveled to the future?
Yes,
I think he clearly traveled to the future.
He broke That's the time obvious. Barrier.
How did he come down as an ape? That's what I wanted.
No, he seemed to be a regular human. It was kind of disheartening.
So what else?
I don't know the new shows.
I have some new shows recorded. I just haven't watched them. It seems like we're into the sports. At least Barb is. Like I don't come home and watch anything because she's usually got NFL on Monday or Friday, and then we watch it Sunday. And then baseball is in the playoffs right now, so we've been watching the playoffs there. So. Doesn't seem like we're watching a hell of a lot of regular TV lately.
Well, I haven't watched a lot, but from what I've heard, there's not a lot of new shows that are super awesome.
I heard Arrow was good. At least my brother said it was.
Ooh, I meant to watch that. I never got around to it.
I got that on TiVo. I haven't watched it yet. Oh, I did watch that Last Resort show.
What did you think, Bill?
I liked it. That's good, but I like Andre Brower a lot, so...
Yeah, it's like Andre Brower. I believe him in everything he does.
I'm biased because of him, so...
Yeah.
Although I didn't like that one show he was in with the old people show. Men of a Certain Age or whatever.
Oh, the TBS show?
Something like that.
Ah, it sounded awful.
Yeah, I watched one episode of that and didn't like it. But this is... So far, it's good. I mean, it's not... Great, but
I don't even know what that's about.
That's where this they're on a sub. He's the
I know which one. I have him taped too.
Captain of the sub.
Just gonna remember the name. Micah talked about this last week.
Yeah. I've not seen another episode of it since though. So
that's good to know that.
Or Elementary or any of the other ones, but.
Oh, I watched the first Elementary, too.
What did you think?
I liked it. I liked it more than you did, I think.
Okay.
I thought there was more to it than just a procedural.
Maybe I was unfairly biased against it.
So we'll see where they... I'm still on board with that one.
So do you know if Graphically is the one that sells print to order, or are they all digital?
I thought Graphically was the one that digitized stuff.
Oh. So that's where you could get Power Principle number one, graphically.com.
Okay, the digital version.
Yeah, I was just, I could have sworn I saw somewhere where it said, here's a print version, and I clicked on the link, and it was like I couldn't get it. I'd sure like to see the book in color.
I don't think you're going to see it in color.
Because the color, yeah. The colors that are on the covers, you know, that he's posting are freaking awesome.
They are awesome.
So what else is going on?
That's it in my life.
I can't think of anything else. I need to take my dog for a walk.
Yep.
Or she's takes me for a walk. She is strong, man. I can't remember the last time I used to walk the other dogs that had, because our dogs lived. I didn't realize how long they lived until recently, and I saw a chart at the vet, you know, about how long dogs lived based on weight. And both of our dogs were in what they consider geriatric years. In other words, way beyond an adult.
Yeah.
Way beyond the years of.
How old were they?
Risa was about 12, and Scooter went to about 13.
Yeah, that's pretty old.
And with cancers and all, I mean, they were pretty sturdy dogs, man. They didn't whine when they were sick or whatever. They were good dogs. And this one here has got a lot of energy. She's just very strange because just can't figure out. Like, she doesn't want to. Most of my other dogs would want to be outside. Well, Risa didn't unless the door was open, because she always had this thing, like this dog. I guess that's kind of her nature. She just don't want to be outside unless we're outside.
I'm guessing it's just because she got left outside a lot.
Probably.
Yeah, it could be.
So she's afraid that if she goes out there, she's not going to be able to come in.
I just don't understand her bladder, how it could work that long. Mine doesn't work that long, but I'm not 2 years old either, so.
And you're not a dog.
I'm not a dog.
You're not a two-year-old dog, which, you know, so.
I think today's the first day we're going to see what damage she does outside of the crate. So that'll be interesting.
What, in the car?
No, she does good in a car. We took her to Culver's the other night, which I had a pumpkin something or another shake. Oh my god! I mean, I got hooked on pumpkin last Christmas with the pumpkin eggnog, and now they have the pumpkin shake, and I was like, oh my lord, it's so good.
Nice.
Just more stuff to get me fat. They don't have those Milky Ways with the vanilla stuff anymore. It's pissed me off.
I was going to go look for those.
I am so pissed off. Well, we were doing some research Barb did for me because I was so upset. She found out that they're going to make it a permanent. You know how they have the Milky Way pure caramel chocolate one now? Mm-hmm. Well, now they're going to have the vanilla. Oh, my God. God, that's good.
So was this just like a test thing they were doing?
Yeah, I was just like, see if it worked. I guess it worked. Because there were no more when I went back for more.
Sold out, huh? Too popular.
I was very discouraged. I don't usually go to Walgreens, but I went to Walgreens on a special trip just to get
just to get some.
It's not that I need to gain more weight, but that every time I find something I really like, it goes away. Yesterday I went to this restaurant. Well, we were with, my brother surprised us and said he wanted to come down and meet the dog. So it was like a spur of the moment decision, and we went to this restaurant called Cheddar's. And man, have you ever went to a restaurant though and like crave something bad and then they say, sorry, we don't have it? I really wanted a chicken fried steak. I really wanted it. And they said, sorry, we don't have it. And that threw my whole game off. Like, I didn't have a backup plan because I didn't think I was going to have one.
And you flipped the table and stormed out.
I had chicken tenders. And it was a disappointment. I wanted something. And then Barb's sandwich was so good. It was like some kind of chicken and some honey weird sauce with bacon. And oh, it was good. I missed out. I missed the boat just because I got thrown off my game.
You couldn't recover.
I couldn't recover. It was all downhill.
You're
I had
flustered.
A pot roast sandwich at Culver's that was pretty good. With I never realized how much I like horseradish sauce, but I like it. You guys eating anything interesting? There's got to be some kind of new fish you've eaten, Bill.
I can't think of any new fish. New fish.
Do you fish? Have you ever fished?
I have fished. I don't regularly fish.
Have you caught the fish and eaten the fish?
In the past, yeah.
Recently or like when you were a kid?
Like when I was a kid.
I did that a few years ago.
I haven't eaten a freshly caught trout since I was a kid.
You should do it sometime. Go out there, catch it with your
hands. I think I might enjoy it more now. Back then it was a patience thing, man. I'm just sitting here throwing my rod in. It wasn't like fly fishing where you're constantly active. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
It's like just you bait your hook and put those little, what are those pink things called?
Like tackles?
No, these were like these little fish egg things, or I forget what they're called.
I have no idea.
I haven't fished in such a long time. And then you hope for the best, and then you usually get your rod hook caught in the damn rocks or something, and then it eats up the hook, and then you're rehooking and throwing it back out there and then rehooking. And I don't know how to fish worth the shit.
I don't know.
That's pretty obvious.
I kind of want to try this bow and arrow fishing.
Oh, sure.
That sounds fun. Because then if there's no fish, you can just shoot your arrow for fun.
Mm-hmm.
There is another show I want to point out real quick. It's called Monsters Inside of Us or something like that.
Monsters Inside Me.
Yeah, Inside Me.
Barb's favorite show.
You're right. That's fucking insane. I'm like, turn this shit. I told you, Mark, not to go into the lake. You and Keith jumped in the lake. You could have had this fucking thing crawl up your pee hole and eat away your flesh. And it's disgusting. They had this one with diverticulitis guy. And I've had diverticulitis. Hurts like a son of a bitch. So, like, why am I watching this? Because I'm, like, reliving this shit through that. Except it wasn't nearly as bad. I basically went for the antibiotics, just like he did. Mm-hmm. And they give you lots of fiber because it's like an infection in your intestines. And it forms, like, a little crevice so shit could collect in there. And that's what causes the pain and infection. And eventually you take antibiotics and it kind of flushes it. And by eating lots of fiber, you're constantly flushing it. So you get better. Well, this guy's got better. So he was like, hey, I'm all better. You know, he's a weightlifter and all this. And he's going back to work. And all of a sudden, he had something else going on besides diverticulitis. He had the salmonella thing. And it caused some weird shit where his intestines actually ruptured in a location. So he had like salmonella something or another going throughout his whole body.
Yikes.
And poisoning his body. So he was basically shitting into his body this bacteria, and it was eating away his system. But man, that show's insane.
Enjoy your lunch, people.
It usually affects little kids too, because they're like taking their little kids to the doctor, and they're like, "We don't know what's going on with your kid," and they find out they have some kind of worm inside of them, and a lot of these parasites that you could get are, you know, they could cause death if they're not caught, or if whatever they give you doesn't take well on your system, you're fucked. So, yeah. Scary show. And Barb just keeps watching, and I'm like, fuck this, change this. Let's watch some cartoons. So, you guys want to wrap this guy up?
Yep.
All right. This has been Geek Brunch. What did you say? 169?
Is it? I was hoping.
169.
We're just gonna say that and be completely totally wrong. I could just go to the internet real quick.
Well, wedding 169. That's
sweet.
It.
Sweet. Got it.
Last wedding cake update. What are we cleaning things now? Or
no, we're making now. She's zesting some lemons. To prepare for the lemon cake.
Ah.
For the middle layer.
Nice.
So, and the house smells like lemons now, which is awesome.
Yeah, your house is going to smell nice today.
It's going to smell great today. So, yeah. We make it all today. Hopefully, we'll make as much as we can today. We also have to make some scones and some other stuff for the rehearsal dinner. And then we will be making some, and there is pumpkin chocolate fudge. And, well, I guess pumpkin fudge. Don't eat chocolate because fudge is. So, yeah, pumpkin fudge. And that's it. That's it. So it's all good times.
Our Twitter accounts are Mike Myers Brunch, do underscore what, and DBM00. What else do we got? We got a Facebook page. You could search for Geek Brunch Podcast and like that and follow us there. We have a forum for geeks. Scroll down to Geek Brunch. You could post on there if you like. Send feedback. Leave an iTunes review. We need them. I shouldn't have to bribe people.
Yeah, you actually get it.
We have two new iTunes reviews. One from Aaron Myers and the other one for Rock. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
What else is going on? I think that's it. Did I miss anything? Emails, Mike, Micah, and Bill at comicbooknoise.com. That's about it.
I think that's it.
Had a lot of technical difficulties. I'll try to fix that in the editing process.
See what we can do.
Yeah.
Now you're hearing the stand mixer going vroom, vroom, vroom in the background.
Yeah, I wonder what that outage is. Ever since it updated my Skype, it's like we get a... Even just now, Micah, when you were like wrapping up the cake update, I think we lost you for 2 seconds again.
That is so completely ridiculous.
Yeah. Did you hear it too, Bill, or was it just me?
Yeah, no. Yeah, you cut off. I know, that's the thing. You never know if you're the one cutting out or if it's the other person cutting out.
It's usually this when it's this symptom, it's usually like you hear nothing. In other words, it's just yourself. But it's bad when you're talking. You don't know.
But you're cutting out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
But it seems to affect everybody that's listening. In other words, us, when we're listening to you talk.
Right.
And it's weird because when it comes back, it's like there's a little bit of a delay and it almost catches up. I don't understand that. And then it kind of like chops up for a little like fraction of a second and then it gets clear again. I wonder if you have to like pay for better quality in Skype now that Microsoft took over. They're like, fuck you guys, this ain't free. You want to pay
for... Well, they've owned Skype for like 2 years now, though, haven't they?
Yeah, I've noticed this about the last year or so.
Google Hangouts, I'm telling you.
I just don't know how that works exactly. And new things are hard.
Yeah, and then you have to worry about the recorder.
Yeah.
The Pretty Maid just plugs right into Skype.
Yeah. Does Google Hangout allow you to record podcasts?
I've seen them.
Oh.
Video casts. Oh. Well, and you can do them live, too.
I don't want a live video cast with Geek Brunch.
You can see the cakes are being made in the background.
Well, I don't have a webcam on this computer, so I guess wouldn't work.
So if you were part of the wedding party and you enjoyed this episode of Geek Brunch, check us out.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Go to geekbrunchpodcast.com.
Congratulations.
Maybe I'll cut that part out.
Cheers.
All right. I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.